staff comments.
When did some of that change? Or if you can. You have a little bit of a house, you want to make it easy on the third step.
Yes.
They just put the family down before.
So it's not over.
Got it.
We have to run the show, so. She goes off the top and goes back and forth and change the windows.
Why does it say that? Why is it not, that's not where I was just.
It was orange, yeah. It is, I think, they're not working properly. I think we should. Or at least kind of sign it.
Almost there. Okay, it looks like we've hit the magic hour of 7 o'clock. So I'll call the Capitola Planning Commission Thursday, June 6th meeting to order. Have the roll, please.
Commissioner Welch?
Here.
Commissioner Graves?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Here.
And Chair Hurd?
Here. See no flag tonight, we will dispense with the flag salute and move to oral communications. First item, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
None.
Okay. And this is a time for public comments. This would be a time to address any item that is not on the agenda. So if it's something that's going on in the community you'd like to address us about that we're not discussing tonight, now is the time. Okay, see no one. We will move to commission comments. Any comments from the commissioners? Ron?
Yes, on my desk this evening was a diagram of a house that we approved down here in the corner of 47. And while they said there were no additions or deletions, is this planning on being discussed tonight?
We did want to present it to your commission's attention to let you know that there was a minor change. The staff determined it was not substantial. Should approve project. It's my understanding that the commission has had concerns in the past with projects that were approved and had changes. So we wanted to bring it to your attention to let you know that there is going to be this modification to the approved project. And if it is something that your commission would prefer to see in the future or think it's within your purview, that would certainly be useful information for me.
One of the conditions for approval of this project was if there was any significant changes to the project that would be brought back to this commission. And I would deem the number of changes I see from this diagram significant. First of all, the use of the board and bat versus the shingles. The windows are different. The skylight is missing. The columns down by the front door are different. I hope I'm viewing this right because it's not really a full-blown plan, but I'd like to ask that it be brought back. And I would hope that my fellow commissioners would agree with that.
Can I just let you know that in the staff report, there were two different sets of plans presented to you.
We only approved one set of plans.
There were two in the staff report, and they were different. And also the staff report stated that the exterior siding was board and batten, and not the shingle siding. So the plans and the staff report conflicted. So what happened was, in plan check, the board and batten elevations came through. At that time, we informed the applicant that that was not correct and that the plans you saw as part of the staff report were the shingle and stucco, not board and bat. So we didn't think that the exterior elevation change was significant enough to bring it back to the commission less than an informational item.
I understand. I'm respectfully disagreeing with you and asking that it be brought back. I may not get concurrence from everybody else, but I think the community needs to see one set of plans. We have a prime example out on 41st Avenue called Capitol Villas that received approval from the Planning Commission, went to the City Council, and changes were made then, and then was built to an entirely different set of plans, and the architect for the original set of plans came before both bodies and apologized for what we finally got built out there. And I'll be honest with you, it has never rented any of the commercial area. It has never filled up with permanent homeowners. It's now being rented out as almost apartments. And I'm embarrassed by it. And that's the reason I'd really like to see this come back.
Is there concurrence with Commissioner Graves?
I don't have any problems with that.
Okay. I do have a question. When this went to Ark and Site, mm-hmm. which plan did they see?
I can't say that I was the planner on it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I would prefer that it be brought back too, and I think we need to check that, because I think if the plan we saw with the shingles went to Ark and Site and this one didn't, I think it needs to go back through the process.
Okay.
But I guess we can determine that when it comes back to us, right? Okay. Any other commission comments?
And this is, of course, at no cost to the applicant.
Right.
Well, there's going to be a cost because they've already laid the foundation, well, they're ready to pour the foundation tomorrow or the next day. My concern is that, you know, we should only see one thing and we only approve one thing. And the community expects us to be the watchdogs and I'm not intending to hold it up. If it needs a special meeting for this to not put the applicant at a disadvantage, I'd be willing to do that as part of the motion. I just think that we need to get complete applications when they come before us. A lot of the applications in the near past have been what I would call sparse at best. Gail has complained about landscaping a number of times. I've complained about other things. Elevations being marked wrong with regards to north, east, south, west. I think we need to get on top of it. We got a new community development director, and I'm looking for great things from him, and I just hope that we're not starting on the wrong note tonight with my request here.
Not at all. I think those are very reasonable requests in response to Commissioner Ortiz's question. There would be additional costs if we're going to bring them back through the Planning Commission process.
City costs?
No, it would be applicant costs.
Costs having to do with city permit fees. I would prefer that, you know, if this were partially our fault that we waived any application fees.
We'll certainly review that. If there's a staff error, we'll process without cost to the customer.
I wanted to clarify something, Daniel, that you said. Did you say that the plans and the staff report did not match when it was brought to us? No, and we didn't catch it.
Correct.
It said board and batten. Picture was different and we did not catch that.
Correct.
But we only approved one set of plans. There were two set of plans as well, which had never happened, first of all. And
there were two sets of plans.
And the plans that we approved were the shingles and the window treatment and the skylight and all the things that I mentioned that have all of a sudden disappeared from what's going to be built, which is a major, in my estimation, significant change.
But the applicant at the time that it was brought before the Planning Commission provided two sets of plans.
Yes.
And the Planning Commission didn't notice that the description and the plan didn't match, and staff didn't notice that they had two sets of plans.
They're correct.
So it sounds to me like the applicant didn't bring us an incomplete project. We didn't catch the fact that we had too much information and we sorted it out differently. So I think the message is more to staff that we consider this is a major change, but under those conditions, I wouldn't think that it needs to go back all the way through the process because we didn't catch it.
I also couldn't support bringing it back. If we're going to penalize the applicant when we are the ones that have the oversight, I couldn't support penalizing the applicant on that.
Well, let me see if I can make this very clear. We can go back and do a web screening of that meeting, and it should show on the overhead what in fact was presented to us. And I don't think I'm incorrect that the shingles were presented to us, that the window treatment, the columns in front of the front door, and the skylight and rest were the plans that we approved. Those are not the plans he's building, for what I'm hearing from staff tonight. So it's not a matter of penalizing the applicant, it's trying to correct a misconception here that you can build anything you want in Capitola. Just get the plans approved and then you can go with another set of plans.
It's even more complex than that because the third page we're seeing are building permit plans. And so that means that the building department, I mean, obviously the applicant got a set of plans that were stamped by the building department. So the applicant at that time should have and probably did know that those were the plans that he was supposed to build.
Wasn't the applicant at the meeting? I can't recall. I believe he was. And there was nothing voiced about the plans that we were reacting to that night. And also, I think if the batten board plan hasn't gone through Arkham site, I think that's really a key determinant of whether he has to pay fees again or not.
Well, we'll take a look. We'll go back. We'll review the history, how the approval process went. And if it was indeed a staff error, my inclination would be not to charge the customer for that.
Yeah,
if it was something where they switched and had a change of heart and wanted a different design, that would be a case where I think they would be responsible for paying fees.
So my question would be, is this the only difference? And if it is, can we tonight, based on this being the only difference, if it turns out that it was a staff error and both sets of plans were indeed submitted at that time, then can we approve it so that he doesn't suffer any delays because it wasn't his error, it was ours?
Procedurally, I don't think you can approve it. It's not on the agenda.
Okay.
You have violation of Brown Act.
Okay, so you guys, I'm trying to think in a timely manner how you report this back to us.
We can bring it back July 18th at the regular Planning Commission meeting. Given the holidays, I don't know that we could get it back to you sooner in a special meeting.
Okay, footprint's still the same though, right?
Yes. Okay. Everything's the same except the exterior design.
I think we need to alert the Lindegy, the builder out there, as to what might transpire.
But construction can then continue on the project between now and then.
I don't think it should affect the construction at all because you're looking at the exterior treatments. They should still be able to do site preparation and lay the foundation and frame the building without
it. I think it might be different with the footings for the columns on the porch.
But we will talk to them to make sure it doesn't have any severe implications.
I just have one and then I'm going to turn it over to Rich. I contacted Rich, I was about a week and a half ago or so, regarding North Coast Orthodontics. And I don't know if you've seen what it looks like today for the past several months. I asked that the use permit be agendized and brought before us for a possible review because he's not meeting the condition of maintaining the property. And then, Rich, maybe you can fill in what you've done since then.
Well, we did contact the property owner. We expressed our concern that the property still was not in compliance with their permit. We warned them that if it was not brought into compliance promptly, that they could face revocation hearings as early as July. Today, he brought in a draft landscape plan, expressed his intention to move on it very quickly. So what we have told him is we are going to review the plan, and as long as he gets out there and starts work in an expeditious manner, that he can prevent revocation proceedings. But that if it doesn't happen, he could be back before the commission in August.
Okay. Any other staff comments? Okay. Seeing none, then that brings us to item three, the approval of the minutes for the May 2nd meeting. Any additions or corrections?
Mr. Chairperson, on the second page, the first item, which was 120 Monterey Avenue, I think a very important point that you made is missing there, and that was with regards to the face on the sea otter that was going to go on the top of the kiosk. And I do know that the council acted upon that and asked for a redesign of the sea otter to have a flat face instead of looking like a dog. So I know that that got done, but it should be included in the minutes. And then on the third page, you'll see that the last comment, Commissioner Wells asked for the landscape meeting requirement, and then you'll see Commissioner Graves asked for a reference of that difference in code when it was not and when it was enacted. That has never been supplied to me, and so maybe I should describe what I'm asking for. My understanding that when you build single-family residence in multi-family residence or thoroughfare commercial zones and the rest of it, and you're building a house, you really must adhere to the conditions of the residential zone unless otherwise approved by a governing body. And I was told at that meeting that no, that's not true, that the code had been changed. And it hasn't been changed in my blue book, but it may be updated on the city's website, and I was asking for the date of the update and the new code.
It's in the staff report for the item this evening, and I was going to go through that. So
okay.
I don't know if you want to wait or if you want an explanation now.
Okay. But I just expected to get it supplied so I could compare it and the rest of it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. If not, then is there
a motion? Approval with the corrections.
Second. A motion is seconded to approve the minutes as corrected. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, that brings us to item four, the consent calendar. And all matters listed under the consent calendar are considered by the Planning Commission to be routine and will be enacted by one motion in the form listed below. There will be no separate discussion on this item prior to the time of the Planning Commission votes on the action unless members of the public or the Planning Commission request specific items to be discussed for a separate review. Items pulled for separate discussion will be considered in the order listed on the agenda. And we have one item tonight on the consent calendar, and that is 137 Cortez Street, a second floor deck. I understand it's kind of retroactive here, that's already been constructed, and we're reacting to it now. Is there any staff information? Any questions for anybody? Anybody want to pull this one? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar, adopt the consent calendar.
I have a motion and a second then to approve the consent calendar, which is 137 Cortez Street, a second story deck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. You have a question?
I was going to say, we do need to ask if anybody was in the audience wishing to speak to that item under the new rules.
Item five is a public hearing. These are intended to provide an opportunity for the public discussion of each item as a public hearing. The procedure is as follows. We have a staff presentation, followed by public discussion, Planning Commission comments, we'll close the public portion of the hearing, and then the Planning Commission discussion, and ultimately a decision. So our first item tonight is 4980 Capitola Road. This is coming back to us again for a second time after some revisions were made to the parking.
And Chairman Reed, I need to recuse myself from this item because of its proximity to my residence.
Okay. Danielle, are you the presenter tonight, or is it Rich?
No, he's had his stint as a planner. So this item was heard at your May 2nd meeting, and you continued the application for additional information from Mr. Graves and encouraged the applicant to redesign and eliminate a couple of the parking spaces and infill with additional landscaping. So, Mr. Graves, to answer your question, I did some research, and the CR district regulations were amended in 1985, and it only encouraged the design emphasis be placed on sidewalk width, street trees, potted plants, and front yard landscaping, and that the landscaping should further the creation of harmonious pedestrian commercial atmosphere. The CN district regulations require that 5% of the lot be landscaped. I was unable to find any requirement in the code, and I may be wrong, but I haven't been able to find anything that requires that when you change a use to residential, that it come up to residential district standards. So with that, the applicant has returned with a new design and eliminated two of the parking spaces that were originally in the front here and re-landscaped this whole area and created a small patio, private area for the front unit. This all is existing landscaping. So it still complies with the district standards. It's less than the lot coverage of pervious paving. And in fact, the new paving area where the two new cars have covered parking, there will be pervious paving material utilized. So staff recommends approval of the project with the conditions attached in the staff report.
Okay, thank you, David. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Anything you'd like to add to the staff report?
Mark's the owner.
The owner. I'll speak this time. I didn't have a chance to come down last time. But, my name is Mark Murphy. And my wife and I purchased the property actually in February. At the time, we talked to the planning person in planning, and actually, we did not even understand that we needed to have covered parking. So it was kind of a big change in our plans when we thought we had to make big landscape changes. But actually, with the commission's advice, it actually makes the house, I think, look much more appealing. Our plan is to actually make it look like part of the neighborhood. It's the last commercial property in that block. And we actually plan to spend some time here ourselves. So it's not going to be something we're good enough to just put up and walk away from. We need to plan to spend weekends here. And certainly, I think we're going to make this a harmonious piece of property with the rest of the neighborhood.
Okay.
So we appreciate the opportunity.
Any questions at all for the applicant?
No, I'd like to commend Mr. Murphy for being so enthusiastic about being harmonious and losing two parking spots. A nice job on the request of the planning commission.
I can't take credit for that, Amanda. We have a lot of insight here. So. But certainly, it actually, when we looked at it as well, it was becoming too much car. So this will certainly, I think, bring it in more in line with the residential.
Great. Thank you,
I was probably hardest on it last time for you, so I'll move the application.
Well, wait, we haven't even opened the public hearing yet.
Just some questions.
Sure,
Can you? Do you know much about the actual numbering and the lettering on your landscape plan?
Well, I looked at the plan quite a bit. So
one of the two larger, I don't think they're trees, but 16. I'm trying to figure out what 16 stands for.
She may not have actually listed what they were. And to be honest, we're going to get some advice as far as what kind of plants will work best.
I was kind of interested that there weren't any trees, and maybe you could consider a small, like a Japanese maple or something.
We would absolutely like to have some trees for some shade and whatnot. We were hoping we didn't have to stick to exactly this. I'd like to kind of build some patio area, maybe have some shade tree over it. Again, we're planning to make this be part of the neighborhood.
Okay.
And by doing this, my wife and I expected we'd be using probably more of the side area, the side yard, where our tenants in front would likely be using the whole front yard. So
okay.
To make it somewhere where they can spend time and enjoy it.
Okay, so does that mean also that you don't know what the letter E in parentheses means by shrubs?
That's existing.
She used to get some terms, but I think the larger ones.
We got it.
You're referring to the three larger?
We got it. It's existing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it?
For the sidewalk, right.
Yeah, I see. Because down here it said E off remoted E office space, and I couldn't figure out what that was. So. Thank you.
Okay.
Those are all my questions.
Yeah, I think there are letters in there, and I'm like, I don't know what the plans were.
It'll look great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Murray.
Thank you.
Okay, it's a public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this item? See no one, then we'll close the public portion.
Now I'll move again.
Okay, we have a motion.
Can I make a comment?
Through.
We'll go ahead. Give a second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
I really like what you've done, the idea that we have less parking in the front yard. I just wish you well with the tandem parking trying to back out on Capitola Road, so be careful, because you're almost on the curve there.
Yeah, we will probably be there mostly on weekends, so I think the tenants will have the majority of the time, and they'll be utilizing it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Definite improvement. Okay. So we have a motion and a second to approve the project. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. Come back. And our next item at 305 Fanmar Way is also coming back for a second time after a redo. And Danielle?
If I can have one second, please.
Okay.
This is an application previously reviewed by the Planning Commission. On April 4th, the Commission reviewed and continued this application for redesign. Some of the issues brought up by the Commission were the overall mass of the home, the proposed building height, and suggested that netting to the residents to evaluate the impact of the height and the mass, and also recommended reduced construction hours. So the applicant has come back with an entirely different plan and incorporated the following changes to address the neighborhood concerns and the Commission's issues. They've reduced the floor area ratio. They did a first floor remodel and bumped out the first floor to include a 115-foot addition with the fireplace. They removed the second floor addition and proposed a 244-square-foot deck with stairs. And they reduced the overall building height from the previously proposed 27-foot height to 22.6. The proposed design revisions eliminated the second floor addition, reducing both the height and the mass of the overall structure, and therefore the applicant did not net the site because of the reduction. I want to note that an email was sent by the property owner. He had several requests. One was that the construction hours be approved as the original construction hours, which is Monday through Friday till 9 p.m. He'd like to work, he is the homeowner, would like to work until in the evening hours. There were parking restrictions suggested by a neighbor, and the parking as proposed in this plan meet the ordinance requirements, and so no additional parking restrictions have been placed on the project. There was a concern for a view from the neighbors. The new design plan meets all the coastal permit requirements and design permit findings and does not address private views in coastal zones, so we didn't address that particular issue. There's a tree removal for an avocado. The applicant's asking to waive fees. An avocado is a fruit tree and can be removed with no permit. The garbage and recycling.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that a little bit?
An avocado tree is a fruit tree, and our tree ordinance allows you to remove fruit trees without a permit.
Did you say there's an existing permit been set with the city? Right
no,
now?
The applicant has asked in his email to waive any fees and for reviewing of a future permit, which would not be necessary. The garbage and recycling cans was brought to my attention by two commissioners. We can certainly require that screening be provided. The applicant wants to build an 8-foot fence to address screening the garbage from a neighbor. However, a commissioner pointed out that doesn't screen the garbage from the neighborhood. Again, he wants to construct an 8-foot fence along the westerly property boundary, and that can be approved at staff level with the exception of the front 15 feet can be 42 inches unless it's reviewed by the Planning Commission. I've not seen a proposal for the fence in that area, so you could make comments about that, but we couldn't take action on that portion of the fence at this time. And the last comment that was brought up in his letter was an exhaust fan issue with a neighbor, and that's been referred to the building department. That's not a planning issue. And I also wanted to note you have a second email that was received earlier and from a neighbor supporting the redesigned home. So with all the changes made, staff is recommending approval of this design and cluster permit.
Okay, thank you, Danielle.
I have a question for staff.
Question.
Is there a building permit for the currently, the construction that's happening right now on the fence that fronts Cherry?
I'm not aware of that.
There's a fence being built that fronts Cherry, and okay. I was just out there and wondering about it. Maybe the applicant could tell
okay.
us about it. And there, he might not need one, I'm not sure.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. Is the applicant present or a representative?
Hi, Derek Hamelstein, this is a representative from home. Would you like to answer any questions you might have?
Any questions for Mr. Van Alstyne?
I have a couple of questions relative to the email, which I don't think you sent. I think it was sent by the owner, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So maybe I'll just wait until that time.
Well, I could probably answer your questions.
I don't know how to approach this. I went out there and looked numerous times, and I've been a guest in the Darrow household many times.
Sure.
And am I incorrect that the avocado tree is on the west side of the property and the Darrows are on the east side of the property, or have the Darrows moved?
We're on the west.
We're on the west.
Mm-hmm. We are on the west.
As is the avocado tree.
Okay. The it indicates in the email also that he thought when you got title there was conditions for like parking and other things. In other words, zoning conditions would appear in the deed, and unless there has been some changes, that doesn't normally occur unless there's an easement or something else that's required. So it concerned me a little bit that he had false expectations with regards to when he first purchased the property. The can storage, as I see it, is again and it was mentioned tonight by staff, visible from the street but not from the neighbors if he gets the fence permit. Am I correct in that? And we're talking about trash area.
I think that's pretty much correct. He's fine with putting an enclosure for the cans.
Okay.
I think he's fine with having the first 15 feet be 42 inches.
Okay.
We can do a nice job of that. I don't think he has a problem making that a condition.
Do you, in as much as Gail asked the question and didn't get an answer, I too viewed the property from the Cherry Street side, and there appears to be a fence and also a deck railing of some kind. That the deck railing bothered me, and that the openings in the railing wouldn't meet the present code. Is that just a in-process type of thing?
Yes, I think so, and I think those things can be rectified through the building department.
I have no other questions.
Yeah, I think the building department needs to take a look at the fence to see if, I think it must meet, it seems like it might meet the height requirement, but if it doesn't have a permit, I believe that is a permittable act.
It is. Any other questions for Mr. Van Alstyne? You know what? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, this is a public hearing. We'll open a public hearing for any member of the audience that wishes to speak towards this application. Mrs. Darrow?
Hi. My name is Patricia Darrow. I live to the west of Mr. Wells. I certainly applaud him for fixing up the house because it's been under a lot of disrepair for a long time. I'm not clear about what he means about the avocado tree. It doesn't need a permit, but is he going to cut it down or is he not going to cut it down? And I listed a number of things of why that tree was planted by Mr. Freeman, who we love dearly, but
it wasn't the appropriate tree to be planted there in the first place. It's ridiculous. It's caused us problems. It's caused us money. And I'm in the position now, I need to watch a little bit of that. And I'm looking after, I want to look after my property also. And I'm wishing him the best of luck, don't misunderstand. But, and then there's some issues that I'd like to address. Construction hours. I have, as you know, I have tenants there, and I have myself there, and working from 9 o'clock at night is really ridiculous. It would be not appropriate for a neighborhood like ours. We've always had the people that are building it across the street at 310 Van Mar have been polite, and they left at 4 o'clock. They never caused any Saturday noise or evening noise, and that's been really helpful in a neighborhood like ours. So I think that ours need to be a little bit stricter. And then I'd like to know, is there a landscaping plan with this? And if you've been up there, you know that the property has been neglected over the last 8 years. It's a mess. And I'm sure Mr. Wilkes wants it to look nice too, and I certainly do, and I'm certainly all the neighbors want it to look nice. It's going to help the value of the properties around there. And then there is the question about the exhaust fan, the heater that was put in. It was put in unpermitted, and I'm wondering if that's been addressed by when people are not. And as far as I wanted to build it, but if it's going to have a porta potty, please do not put it in so that I have to look out of my front window and see it. That's all I ask. I think that's all I have right now.
Thank you, Pat. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Deborah Wallace. I'm a tenant at 303. And I was just, my bedroom window looks right out into Mr. Wilkes' yard, which is where he's going to be doing his remodeling. And I would prefer if they could put the fence so that his workmen aren't looking into my bedroom window, if that's possible. And the work hours are sort of, would be nice to be not having to have dinner while he's working. I understand he's doing a lot of work himself. But there's also been times I had to ask him at 7 o'clock in the morning not to work in his yard on a Saturday, and he was very polite and logical, and he stopped and he waited till 9 o'clock. But I think work hours would be nice to be established because there are lots of people living there. It's a close urban area, and people want to enjoy their weekends and their evening suppers and breakfast with their family in the mornings, and I think that should be a consideration for all the people in the area. Plus, and parking is going to obviously, construction parking is a big issue in that area. It's a tight corner. That's the potential.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I'm actually here to say thank you to you both for putting in such a nice effort to address everybody's concerns, sort of the height and the mass, and I'm very happy to see that. And I'm glad to hear the auto tree might go, but everybody else reiterated, the construction noise after 9 o'clock. I go to bed quite early, and the neighbors next door to Pat mentioned that their house is literally 3 feet from my house, and they worked on that house for a year, and they never bothered me because they were polite, they quit work at 5, they didn't, you know, and they were building it by themselves. They did not hire contractors very rarely. They did most of the work themselves, and they were able to work within, you know, some reasonable hours. You know, we're very tight living spaces. It'd be one thing if he was on half an acre or, you know, it was far away, but we're all on top of each other there, and have somebody pounding at 9 o'clock at night would just be, you know, that'd be very difficult. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Last chance. Seeing no one, then we'll close the public portion, bring it back to the commission. Who would like to lead off with questions, comments? TJ?
Well, I'll take a shot at it. First, my condolences to Mrs. Darrow and your time. And when I we looked at this before, we wanted to make a commitment on the time frame of construction hours. But having lived in an area where an ongoing construction project was going across the street from my house for a number of years, and having just built the house, I can be sensitive to the time frame. And I hope that we, as we look at this, look at how we address that. And I commend Mr. Wilk for those areas that he's already taken into account for the neighborhood. And I hope that this could come to some type of conclusion that could make the neighborhood happy. And I would hope that he could move that way, whether it's the fruit tree or the construction hours. Aside from that, I support the project. I think he's done a great job coming back and not having to go with the variance of going, well, not the variance, but the approval of the planning commission to get to 27 feet. So with that, I could support the project and take some of those things into account.
Juan, I have some questions of the owner from the letter.
Oh, they got answered by his representative. So.
I'll go next. Yeah, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the changes that you made without making a big deal of it. In this community, we've seen a lot of heartache in communities and in neighborhoods where an applicant had their heart set on something and the neighborhood didn't like it, and it goes on for months and months. And the fact that you folks just cut to the chase and did those changes was really a big, big thing for us. It saved a lot of staff time, your time, neighborhood sorrow, the best outcome. And I would like to add a condition that the garbage cans are enclosed. I'm not sure it'll take too much. I think if you do that fence, that could enclose it from the neighbors, and maybe just a front, I don't know, just something from the front. I don't think it'll get in your way or take too much. This is another staff decision about landscaping, which is something we're going around and around about. Many times we'll get landscaping plans, many times we won't. We used to always get landscaping plans. And
there is a landscaping plan included in your packet. I did not put it in the PowerPoint presentation.
No, I did not see the landscaping plan.
It should review the last sheet and I've set.
All right. So is that include landscaping on both sides of the structural from Cherry Street and here it is. So it's the front of the home.
It's just the front and the westerly side. Okay. There's really no place to landscape on the easterly side.
Right, if there is on the back, that's considered the back yard.
Correct.
We don't ask now.
That's correct.
Yeah, so Ms. Darrow, if you could take a look at the front, there are areas landscaping along the narrow front of the property. I think the building department is the one that handled the heater concern. That is not our concern, so you should take that up with the building department, and they may already know about that. The porta potty is also a building department issue, and we could put that request on with the staff, and that could be handled. And so I think the two outstanding issues that could be possibly resolved tonight are construction hours and the tree.
And I have a question for the owner, if it's not too late for me to perhaps ask that question. The construction hours, the request was that they go to 9 o'clock for, can you come up to that? For finish work and landscaping, what kind of finish work are you thinking about doing in the evenings that way?
Well, as was pointed out, I'm working on a fence without a permit. I just learned today that I need to create a, anyway. So, to finish the railing activity, mainly it's railing activity, so it's using a portable drill.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Wilk. I think there's there's one other issue too, and that's the fence along the west side, whether that should be, the fence should be constructed before actual construction starts. It also kind of serves as a sound barrier, a privacy barrier, and I'm not sure, at least Mr. Roach, maybe Mr. Van Alstyne, would constructing that fence prior to construction present any barriers to the construction at all? Okay, so we could add that as a, I think as a condition then. And then just the question I have about the avocado tree, in this application, do we have the authority to ask that that avocado tree be removed? I don't think we do.
A fruit tree doesn't require a permit, so yeah. It's kind of a moot point.
Well, I don't think that is a moot point. I think your point is we don't really, if it were or not, yeah. We don't have the authority to ask an applicant to do that. That is, that's a civil matter, and it's not part of construction, unfortunately. But, you know, we could ask the applicant if it sounded like you two have gone back and forth. You originally wanted it taken out, and Mrs. Darrow didn't. Now it's vice versa, it sounded like, or?
There's a privacy issue, right? And we have to provide a certain genetic thing.
You know, I don't think we need to. I don't think we need to discuss it because we really don't have any authority over it. So I think it's an issue between you and Mrs. Darrow that has to be resolved. Okay.
So I have a couple of comments that I didn't make before. I would like to make them now, and they have to do with the construction hours, because I too had an extensive remodel, and we had construction that did run into the evening. It was mostly interior tile work, finish work inside. And when it happened because they ran into issues during the day and they needed to finish stuff up. And it was not a burden on the neighborhood because it was inside work and you couldn't really hear it from outside. And in that case, 9 o'clock is not a problem to be working. Most construction companies do quit much earlier, and so a lot of the banging and rattling and people walking around, you know, it's reasonable to expect that to end earlier. Reducing the hours of external construction, I don't think is an unreasonable thing for a neighborhood where you've got neighbors that go to bed early and it's a big interruption to their whole living in peace because of the construction that's going on. So I would still support limiting exterior construction to a 6 p.m. Limit, because we've done that before. We've set a precedent for that in the neighborhoods. But interior finish work and that kind of thing, I think the 9 p.m. is a reasonable thing. I don't know if we can adjust that condition, interior and exterior, in that way, or if we have to either say 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock. If it's one or the other, then I think we're probably safest going with our ordinance.
I would agree, and I think the other thing is, I would hope that Mr. Wilk would be sensitive to the neighbors' issues and understand that a lot of this could be inside interior, that if there were some complaints, then maybe get brought back to the city and staff and take another look at it.
I think this is something that we need to address as a city as well. This comes up to us
right.
Over and
every time.
With almost every single application. And I don't, you know, I think we need to, when the ordinances get redone with the master plan, we definitely need to look at this one.
I haven't made any comments. I would like to commend the applicant for changing the plans and proposing the construction that he is. I think that I would like to make my comments specifically to the items that have been discussed by most of you. I feel that 9 o'clock at night for construction is way too late in the neighborhood. I personally believe staff was right to make condition number 3, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and I'll tell you why. The applicant himself tonight, or the owner himself tonight, indicated to us the type of work that he'd be doing outside those hours. And that kind of work can go on in any neighborhood at any time. It's not really construction, it's yard work, it's using a drill, those types of things. I think what we're concerned about is the heavy construction and the noises associated with that. And I agree with Gail that I think that this is an item that needs to be addressed, not only in the general plan, but in the ordinances that go forth as a result of the general plan, and bring it back to a more reasonable hour. I'd like to also say that I think that if somebody makes a motion, because we have a landscape plan in the plans, that that ought to be adhered to. So item, condition number 6 ought to be removed. It's a cookie cutter item. It basically says that the plans will come to us later on, and we have them, so they should adhere to the plans we have, so that there's clarity. There's not two sets of landscape plans. I think we ought to address the fence, the privacy fence, and I think staff is absolutely correct in eliminating the 8-foot portion of the fence back from the road, and that I think at the other height, up near the road or the front of the property or the rear of the property, whichever you want to say on that property, be 42 inches, and I'd like to see that as an additional condition. I'd also like to see a condition added that encloses the garbage area. Those are my comments. And I could support it with those.
And if it's along the west side property line, be constructed prior to construction.
I would agree with that. That same kind of reasonable.
And I don't think we can eliminate number 6. It has the sentence at the end, front landscaping shall be installed prior to final building occupancy. And although I don't see that actually adhered to much in Capitol Hill, which is something I'd like to bring up meaning,
we can leave that line in if you want.
Right. Well, nobody can leave that line in, just, you know, because it's the right.
Can I speak to that? Usually, it's a standard condition, and it requires the applicant include the landscape plan that you're approving this evening in the building permit set. So, I'd like to request that you leave that condition in there.
So, okay, it's like staff wants to shake and eat it too. You told us earlier that, in fact, we had a set of landscape plans, and we all looked at the last page, and you do, but you're saying that's not what the landscape's going to look like. And so maybe we go back to Gail's comment, we got to start getting landscape
plans.
Well,
it says the final landscape plan will be submitted, and we're feeling like this, we like this landscape plan, and we would like this to be the final one.
So perhaps we need to change the wording of it as a standard condition so that it says something to the effect that the final landscape plan approved by the Planning Commission is included in the building permit submittal.
There you go.
Okay.
So remove it or modify it. My question to Ron, did you leave number 3 the same with the hours that stated 7:30 to 6?
I did say that I preferred that. Okay. I did not make a motion on this, but I said in order to gain my support, I'd like to see those things. I think it's a great plan. I think he's going to be a good neighbor. I think he's not going to do heavy construction outside of the times in the conditions here. I think he testified to that tonight. I think the privacy fence is important to get built as early as possible. And we'll let the property owners fight over the avocado tree.
So we'll make a motion that we approve the application with the existing conditions, changing number 6 as per our discussion with staff, adding condition number 9 to enclose the garbage cans, adding condition number 10 for the applicant to build the proper height fence prior to the commencement of the building.
Okay.
May I have clarification on construction hours? 6 p.m. is correct?
As they currently exist in the conditions.
Yeah.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, then we have a motion and a second to approve. Added conditions for a garbage enclosure, a west side fence being constructed prior to construction. The landscape plan as submitted is the one that is being approved. And I think that's it, right? The ones we got. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Ben Alstein, Mr. Wilkes. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to item C under public hearings, 1575 38th Avenue. This is a plan development, rezoning, conditional use permit, design permit. to demolish the salvage yard that currently exists there and construct a three-story, 23-unit senior housing project in the city itself. Danielle?
I'll go through the project description again, but I wanted to give you a brief background for the record. This was initially submitted as a preliminary design application reviewed by both the Planning Commission and the City Council. And it was four stories and 67 units. The preliminary plan, the commission comments were that the mass scale and height of the building was not compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. It lacked architectural articulation, insufficient on-site parking, lack of landscaping to the site and the outdoor spaces. And there were probably other comments, but those are just sort of the general ones to brief the preliminary review. The City Council had similar concerns. Although they could support a three-story design with increased setbacks, decks, and landscaping, they wanted reduced height and wanted to encourage the applicant to work with the neighborhood to address some of their concerns. Following a preliminary review, the applicant redesigned and made a formal application and submitted a three-story, 23-unit senior housing project. The Planning Commission once again reviewed the application and voted to recommend denial to the City Council based on the mass, scale, and density is not compatible with the adjacent surrounding neighborhood, and the benefits specified in the plan development ordinance were not met through the design, use, or specific amenities to the site, and it lacked outdoor space and landscaping. The other thing that happened with the original application is once the Planning Commission denied the application, we found in our ordinance that the applicant could, that you were the final decision makers and that the City Council would not be able to hear the item. We brought back a code amendment that would allow the applicant to appeal a decision to City Council. The Commission recommended approval of that amendment. The Council approved the amendment, and it is now effective in properties outside of the coastal zone. And with that, the applicant has resubmitted a new project. It's again 23 units and three stories. There were several changes to the plans. Excuse me, sir. The first time, or with the new project, there's a reduction in height from 42 feet to 39 height, with the overall, the absolute highest point of the exterior in the elevator is 48 feet to the peak, and it's on the interior section of the building. But the overall average building height is 39 feet. The design of the front of the building eliminated the porte-cochere for parking, and it just has one driveway for ingress and egress off of 38 that's 24 feet wide. They created more street appeal with the elevation for a restaurant area and landscaping. They eliminated outdoor decks on the rear of the property, and there are four units at the back of the parcel that have no decks and are reserved for on-site employees. They reduced the height of the building, the scale, and the mass, and stepped in the building on all sides. And it relocated the elevator tower and staircase to the upstairs, to the rooftop deck, to the interior of the building, or to the interior of the whole design. There is a restaurant specifically for the residents, and it will not serve the public. And I've lost my notes for everything. So there were a few things that were brought up by the commissioners. One was how many employees. There will be 6 to 8 employees on site each day with, again, the apartments at the back will be reserved for on-site employees. There was consideration of the crosswalk. It was a suggestion by the traffic study. However, the applicant is willing to install a crosswalk, and I proposed an additional condition
that includes the crosswalk installation by the applicant. The applicant has also retained an arborist to help protect the redwoods on the north. On the south side of the property, and I've added a condition for the trees to be protected, and the root system to be protected during excavation and construction, and that an arborist be on site during that period of time. And another request by a commissioner with a proposed condition is that there be a minimal number of construction vehicles on site at all times. With that, I'm going to conclude my staff report.
Could you review the setbacks for the public? Do we have a slide of that?
Yes. So this is the landscape plan and first floor. I don't have the floor plans because they were so small. But
do you have the staff report?
They do step back the front yard. The CN district regulations require a 15-foot front yard setback. And on the first floor, the front yard setback is 14 feet plus the 9-foot new proposed sidewalk. The second floor is also 14.9. And the third floor is 34 feet plus a 9-foot side yard setback. The rear yard, the district standard is 48 feet. The proposed first floor is at 15. The second floor is at 23. And the third floor is at 30 feet. That's in the residential districts. In commercial districts, it's 10 feet for the district standard. And again, the applicant is proposing 15, 23, and 30, so it steps back at each floor.
You know, can I stop you for a second? Because I think these figures are kind of meaningless unless you have a footprint up there of the building.
Okay.
If you could go to the landscape plan that shows the footprint.
It doesn't represent the footprint clearly.
Oh, that's not the footprint of the building?
That's the footprint of the building, but not of each story as it steps back. So
would that be the first floor?
But at least you the first floor. You could indicate when you're talking about the setbacks, where they are, on what side of the property, so at least people could understand.
So on the first floor, the district standard in CN is 15, but the applicant is proposing 14 feet from the property line to the building, plus a new sidewalk of 9 feet. The side yard is... the district standard is 13, sorry, on this side, the district standard is 13 feet. In this area, it's a 0 side yard setback and steps back to 6 feet towards the rear portion along this property boundary. The rear yard is 48 feet as a district standard, and the applicant is proposing 15 on the first floor. Steps back to 23 on the second floor, and would again step back further. I'm not exactly sure where it shows on there, but it would be about, it's at 30 feet. So as you go up each floor, it will step in. Did you want me to keep the
north
side?
North
side,
yeah.
Okay, so on the north property boundary, the district standard is 13 feet. The second floor, will step in to 7. First floor is 7 feet. The second floor is 7 feet of decks, plus 16 feet that will step back in to the actual units. So the decks are closer, the unit itself is further back. And on the third floor on the north side, there is no district standard, but the setback is 16 feet plus 23 to the unit. And on the rear, it's 48, the proposal is 15, 23, and 30.
In the staff report, it says rear setback requirement is 10 feet for commercial developments and 20% of the lot depth for residential. What would 20% of this lot depth be?
I have to look that up. I don't know.
Well, I think that's the 48 feet, I think. Okay, any questions for staff?
Before we, you have the landscape plan up there, which is kind of interesting. The second slide in the second picture that you showed us indicated in the front southeast corner of the property. Hang on, one more, a couple more back. There you go. Oop, wrong one. It shows that palm tree. But on the landscape plan, the palm tree doesn't exist.
That's
so
correct.
So, well, what is it? Or do I ask the applicant what it is?
I would prefer that you ask the applicant.
Okay.
It does not show on the landscape plan.
Okay.
That's correct.
Now, you mentioned that there were going to be 6 to 8 employees plus 23 units. And is the employee count including the restaurant for the residents?
Is the employee,
Employee count the 6 to 8,
yes, sir,
the maximum, or does that increase with the hours of operation of the food facility for the residents?
My understanding from the applicant is that the 6 to 8 is a daily employee count for the total property, including the food service.
Okay. I'll ask that a different way when the applicant gets open.
Any other questions for staff before we open?
Yes.
So just to clarify what I think he was asking, because I want to make sure I'm not confused now. 6 to 8 employees, 4 of them are going to have a room on site. So there are going to be 2 to 4
units available. I'm not sure how many people will live in each unit as the on-site person.
Regarding noise studies, can you talk about a little bit about that?
The mitigated negative declaration had one mitigation, and that is for an acoustical report to be prepared prior to the building permit phase that would make a recommendation for sound proofing between residential and commercial. I know you had asked me what their standard is. I was unable to find a level or a standard established without the acoustical report. So they'll need to do some type of construction with the building in order to meet a specific acoustical standard. The contractor is here and may be able to address that a little bit more carefully with the type of construction, but I don't know that that is specified at this point.
Okay, so I think we need to include that in any conditions if we do get to that point.
The mitigation measure is included as one of the conditions.
It seems a little vague to me. So maybe we can beat that up a little bit.
Okay, bring that back for discussion.
And I was just wondering why are there not lighting designs right now, because it's still in a preliminary stage?
Exactly. The applicant is will be proposing a lighting plan. He wants to work with the neighborhood. The standard condition that lighting will be focused down onto the site is one of the conditions, but they have not designed the overall site lighting at this particular point.
You know, somewhere in the staff report it says that they'll bring that to staff, but I would feel more comfortable if that came to the planning commission at this level to give the public enough time to really take a look at that and absorb that. So I would feel comfortable leaving that condition the way it is now. I think the public needs to be able to voice their opinion at least one planning commission meeting or one public meeting regarding that. And my last question is asking what the thought was of staff using senior housing as a parking guideline, since this really doesn't fit that guideline. I'm just wondering if there was any talk at staff level about beefing that parking requirement up based on the fact that most senior housing doesn't have staff, and this will. Was there any talk at staff level about that, or did you just accept the fact that, you know, certain jurisdictions call senior housing senior housing, and it's just one blanket number.
The parking requirement was concluded by the traffic study, and there is no specific senior housing parking calculation in Capitola. So the traffic engineer made a recommendation of the appropriate number based on a survey of surrounding jurisdictions and came up with 33 spaces. They're proposing 35. And there will be some of the employees will be residents and would be included in that 35 space parking calculation. And there are two additional spaces allowed or available for other employees on the site.
It's my interpretation that the calculations that they did with other jurisdictions are based on more traditional models of senior housing with not that many staff members in the model. Is that your interpretation as well?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for staff before we open the public hearing? Okay. Is the applicant present? Could you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. I just want to say that that's not the correct pictures there. So.
Well, that was a comparison between the prior application.
Oh, and the next one. Okay. I didn't want people to think of that because the top one was what it is. It's not. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Commission. My name is Maureen Romack, and I'm the owner of the property at 1575 38th Avenue. And part of the development team for Villa Capitola Senior Housing. My husband Steve and I first became interested in senior housing as we found ourselves trying to care for our own parents. Steve's parents are gone, but I am fortunate that my parents are still alive and thriving. My father will be 101 years old next month. He lived at home with my mother until a couple months ago. He was hoping to stay physically and mentally strong enough to be the first resident at Villa Capitola. But you never know, he still may be. And Mom is definitely on the waiting list. After a lifetime of hard work and responsibility, it's time to relax and enjoy yourself. That's what independent retirement living is all about. Villa Capitola will provide independent seniors with a comfortable home they don't have to maintain, an enriched life among a community of their peers, and a sense of safety, comfort, and belonging. Villa Capitola is the ideal setting for seniors who are ready to simplify their lives and live the carefree lifestyle they want. Imagine starting your day with nothing to worry about, but deciding which activities to participate in, which friend to have lunch with, where to go shopping, and what to wear for that evening's special event. With no cooking, cleaning, yard care, or home maintenance to contend with, you're free to fill your days any way that makes you happy. Each residence at Villa Capitola provides private living accommodations in a studio or a one-bedroom with a wide variety of amenities and services. Rent is on a month-to-month basis, and includes services such as a flexible plan for meals prepared by the on-site chef and served in the dining room, outdoor sidewalk setting, or at the poolside cabana. Paid utilities, housekeeping, interior and exterior care and maintenance, grounds and landscape maintenance, a shuttle service that enables residents to shop at local businesses without the hassle of driving or parking, outdoor swimming pool, spa, and cabana, a community rooftop garden for relaxing or gardening, 24-hour emergency call system, a state-of-the-art fitness center and exercise classes, bocce ball, a library, a business center with computers and Wi-Fi, an enclosed, well-lit, easily accessible parking garage. An activities director to plan entertaining and enlightening activities such as computer courses, lectures, socials, book club, wine tasting, opportunities to volunteer for worthy causes, art classes, and other events of interest to seniors. While our goal is to help maintain independence, residents may bring in their own assisted living services should the need arise. Life is just a little easier for seniors at Villa Capitola. Villa Capitola will provide 23 units with a variety of floor plans. The amenities include fully appointed kitchenettes, easy access showers with safety bars, a washer and dryer in every unit, some units with balconies, and as mentioned earlier, the balconies in the rear units were eliminated due to neighbor concerns regarding privacy. The entire building is ADA accessible and uses the latest green building technology, including solar and retention of rainwater. Skylights to bring outdoor light throughout the building. Landscaping for aesthetics and privacy. And upon final submission of the landscape plan, we hope to have input from our neighbors regarding the type of trees to further mitigate any privacy issues. Villa Capitola is an ideal location for active seniors to stay connected to their community. The convenient location on 38th Avenue allows seniors to walk to a variety of restaurants, shopping, doctors, banks, barbers, beauty salon, movie theaters, and boutique stores. The shuttle service will provide transportation to community events such as art and music at the beach, the Twilight Concerts, Begonia Festival, car shows, Art and Wine Festival, the Kite Classic, Wharf to Wharf Race, and Community Caroling. Santa Cruz County also has cultural attractions, such as Santa Cruz Symphony, Open Studios, and Shakespeare Santa Cruz. Our staffing at Villa Capitola includes management, activities director, a shuttle driver slash groundskeeper, maintenance, food service, security, and housekeeping. Capitola is living at its best. Ocean, redwoods, parks, everything one could want to flourish, both spiritually and physically, in a small town community with all the benefits of a big city. We hope the materials provided in the presentation tonight will give you a good picture of the project, show how it will benefit not only our senior citizens, but enhance the city of Capitola. We have team members present to address any questions you may have, and thank you for your time and consideration.
Mary, any questions for Marlene?
Yes. I want to make sure, because you were very concise with what was going to go on the property. I'm hearing and I'm seeing on the plans, my major concern is parking. I'll start with that. It appears that you're going to have 23 units, and that you're going to have a chef, and that you're going to have some housekeepers, and that you're going to have a chauffeur, gardener, and a maintenance person. And if I add 23 and take the ultimate number that staff gave me of 8 employees, including, I assume that included management, that uses up 31 of the 33 spaces that I count on the parking diagram. The staff said there were 35 spaces, but I couldn't find the other two, but they may be there. How many of the spaces are going to be compact, and how many will accommodate a normal vehicle?
None of them are compact.
So the size is going to be 10 by 20?
10 by 18.
10 by 18? Okay. No provision for guests?
Well, we're also looking at the shuttle service to provide. A lot of the seniors may not have any cars.
I agree with that. But I would assume when you lease or rent out a unit, the parking would be assigned to that unit. Whether they use it or not, somebody else could use it. I understand that. But it seems like it's really tight. Do you feel it's tight, or am I overly concerned because parking has always been a problem in Capitola?
No, but compared to other senior housing and other types of buildings like that, we have more than adequate.
I have a 100-year-old father-in-law that lives in senior housing in Scotts Valley, and I can tell you, not on weekends, but on weekdays, the parking is filled up because of the number of guests and the number of employees. It's a lot larger than yours, so I'm not trying to compare apples and oranges here. I just want to make sure I get an answer from you. Do you really feel with management staff, chef, housekeepers, chauffeur, gardener, maintenance, and somebody to wait on the people in the dining room, that it's going to be a total of 8 people?
Yeah, because some of those jobs, well, as you can see, there's not a lot of landscaping. There's more than adequate landscaping, but it's not like a full-time job of landscaping. So I think a lot of those will be like slash kind of jobs, shuttle driver slash groundskeeper, that type of thing. So I think some of the jobs will be incorporated in one person too.
And while I have you here, the discrepancy between the palm tree in the wonderful renderings and the landscape plans that don't show the palm tree, what is your desire? Because that looks like a full-size palm tree to me, and it doesn't appear on the landscape plans.
No, because that was earlier, and it's changed since then.
So there won't be a palm tree?
No.
Okay, that answers that. Thank you.
I have one question. What is the age requirement to live here?
Well, the age requirement we were looking at originally was 55, and that may be raised.
To what?
Well, 65. At the time, we were looking at more than 23 units. But now when we're reducing it, we might want to go to 65 to... Okay.
So I think that plays a big role in the issue Ron was raising with parking. Mm-hmm. And I noticed there's no condition in here, and I'm going to ask for one, that there be a restriction on the age of the tenants that come in there. So you might want to suggest an age, because I'm going to ask that be put into a condition tonight. And we've seen what happens when those kinds of conditions aren't applied in the villas of Capitola, because they had to come back and turn it into rentals. And one of the fears I have is if this doesn't apply as a senior housing, that because of economics, you're going to be forced to turn it into regular rentals, and then we seriously have a parking problem. So I want an age restriction as a condition that I will ask for later on. So you might want to be considering what age you want that, because it's going to go in as a condition. I don't need it right now, but before we wrap it up.
I know what my age restriction is.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah? I have a couple. One, just so you know, the palm tree is in the new plan that's in our packet. It's not on your landscape plan, but it's in the renderings. It's in the elevations, I think.
It is, but that she says it's not going to be there.
All right.
You're correct.
It is on the new.
Okay. It's in the rendering, that's fine.
We've gone through so many
revisions that. I understand. And also the streetscape trees are not called out, and I would...
They're all the trees.
They are all the trees.
Yeah.
The street trees are not specified for 38th Avenue.
Yeah, they're not. Just the olive trees are on the property. I thought maybe that the olive trees were going to be put on 38th as well, but no. You don't know what those trees are going to be yet.
On the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk.
Gail, the non-fruiting olive trees, they are actually on the 9-foot sidewalk that we have designated and given part of our property to the city.
Okay.
They are actually in planters.
So those are the street trees. What's all the street trees on the plan? And then it seemed like you had an olive tree possibly inside that as well, but that's good to know. I have the same concerns about the cost of these units, now that the units have come down so drastically, which we thank you for, and that if this doesn't fly, we have the same situation here with the Capitola Villas. I think it's appropriate that we ask for that reason. How much are these leased? I know we asked before, but it bears repeating. Are these leased or purchased units?
And not purchased.
They're not purchased. They are leased. And what is the ballpark that you're looking at for the cost of the monthly cost of these units, so that we understand who's going to be in these and whether they're going to be rented? Because what if these don't rent because it's so expensive? And now you have to come back to us and ask us to allow, you know, other people in there. You will not have enough parking.
Can I address that?
Absolutely.
Just identify yourself, please.
I'm Wayne Jay. My name is Steve Thomas. And I can clarify a couple of items, I think. In terms of the parking, when RBF, when we commissioned, or the city commissioned, and we paid for the parking study with RBF, they took a consensus, since we did not have an ordinance for the parking, they took a consensus of other municipalities. And when they took this into consideration, because when Ryan was on board and we met with these people, they take into consideration places like Dominican Oaks or the other places around down there in Seaside, the one in Scotts Valley. So when they look at senior housing, the parking ratio went from, you know, 0.4 per unit, and for every 10 units, another two spaces, maybe for guests and whatnot. So we went from parking spaces in a place like Dominican Oaks that has a full, I mean, this is a full service active senior to nursing care. They took into consideration the number of employees that these places have related to how many parking spaces were needed. That is how we came to the number of parking spaces that were required of us. So in the parking spaces that we have allotted, through that parking study was about any complex has to have employees. Now, considering we have food service and we have a pool and we have grounds, we're also going to have employees, but we used that parking study to determine how many parking spaces we were going to be needed. They did not say, this is parking spaces for guests. They indicated the number of parking spaces required of us for this type of use. To further mitigate that, since some of the people will live on site, we have allocated the four units in back that where we remove the balconies, those will be employees. And the units are large enough that we can house two employees in each unit, if not necessarily and may not be needed. So those employees, at least four employees, will already have designated parking spots in the garage. My feeling is that we are underparked. I mean, if you look at if this use was in the county, they would require eight parking spaces. I think that's too few, but I do believe that we're counting 35 spaces is more than sufficient. In terms of cost scale, depending on if each unit will be negotiated separately, but you would have a cost of a studio unit approximately 500 square feet. You would have it without an entrance fee. You would have a monthly fee with a partial food meal plan of about $3,300. And also, and as Vic said, 55 I've always thought was kind of young for a quote-unquote retirement housing. I mean, I'm 61. So I don't have an issue with the age requirement. I mean, most people that are going into retirement homes, number one, an active retirement home, and going to be able to afford that, an active retirement home, not into a nursing home or a Medicare kind of a situation, are going to be 60, 65 anyway. You know, to be retired and have the money to do that. It's not an inexpensive place to live. The survey that we did prior to even starting out on this project is we surveyed 25 places, and I think Mick may have had a copy of that. Mm-hmm. There's some expensive places. I mean, normally an entrance fee alone is in the, normally starts about $300,000 in some of these places. We do not have an entrance fee.
So you're basically your lowest limit, your studio with a partial meal plan.
Right.
Okay, so what is the one bedroom and the full meal plan?
One bedroom, full meal plan, you will be in the $5,000 a month range. Now, this is just not a meal plan. This is, it's an all-inclusive package when you live there. This includes meals, includes use of all the exercise equipment, includes your shuttle, it includes your dry cleaning. It is, when you live in Villa Capitola, it's not going to be cheap. But if there's, we're not, you know, penalizing the people that have money. It's not going to be cheap, but it's going to be all inclusive. You're gonna have, if all the units have kitchenettes, if you don't want to have anything to do with meal plan at all, you can cook your own food. Mm-hmm. Okay. But still, all the office facilities and everything else are included.
That gave me an idea.
I mean, you're in the restaurant business. I know, but I go into your place. You don't have 8 people working there. You have a lot.
Don't ask me. Sore subject.
It is. Just on the side, we went to Maggiano's in San Jose at Santana Row. They had, at this time that we were there, I think it was Warren's dad's birthday, anyway, in any case, they had 142 people working in that restaurant.
I
got
to
leave.
Sorry. But okay. Thank you for your, I appreciate your
yes, and any other questions for me? Ron, was there a question? I thought maybe something for you wasn't clear that, but let me just say one thing about the landscape plan. As Maureen kind of indicated, we've been through so many versions of this, and the last one was we've increased our landscaping ability quite a bit. We're up, I think, to about 21% landscape of the property. The transition sheet we provided for you really tells the story on that. We have the ability to landscape. We are more than willing to work with the neighbors, and we're not opposed to coming back to you with the landscape plan. It's the same with the lighting plan. There was only so many things that we could do and without saying, this is the plan, either like it or not like it. So that's right.
Any other questions?
And as I understand, you'll have a little bit of pushback with landscaping having to do with the Santa Cruz Water District. I know they're pretty restrictive.
They are.
So I was kind of wondering about the fountain, too, because I'm not even sure they allow fountains at this point.
Well, this is a feature. Keep in mind, whatever the project costs, we have to donate 1% to the Art Foundation. Either go somewhere else or they can do it on our property. Also keep in mind our retention of rainwater that we will use for irrigation and pump gray water through the building from a 30,000 gallon holding tank in the back. And then we have a big culvert in back that we will leach our water into and also provide inlet to that culvert from the neighbors as needed.
Let me address the age requirement again as it relates to Ron's concern about adequate parking. So I think if you set the limit at 55, then I think you do run into the problem of having adequate parking because a lot of couples, 55, the majority of them aren't retired. You have 2 people working in that couple. They're going to probably require 2 cars. They're certainly not going to go to work on a shuttle. And then if you say, okay, let's set it at 65, you've definitely reduced your market that you're going to be appealing to. So I see this kind of maybe a catch-22 for you here.
Well, let's go to the 55 age bracket. This facility is not intended for people that are still working that have a bunch of money that want to just live in a resort style. This is truly
four. Well, you can't screen them out. You can't say, sorry, you're a working couple, you can't live here. Right? You'd be sued.
Well, to the contrary, if you look at the CC&Rs for some of these retirement homes, they're very restrictive.
But you don't have CC&Rs.
Well, we haven't built it yet.
Well, if you have CC&Rs, they should be included in this package.
We haven't determined whether it's 55 or 65. Nick, what?
But 65 today is not what 65 was. I mean, 60, hello.
I'm 61 next month.
I resemble that remark.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we've all got cars. We've all got, you know, my husband's got a car. I've got a car. I don't know a family at 65 or even 75 that only has one car.
Right.
We just don't look like seniors anymore. We don't act like seniors anymore. We only do that when we're in our 80s and 90s.
This most could very well be in that age bracket because at the same time, Gail, in your lifestyle right now, you're not ready to move into a retirement home, probably.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think, you know, so you're saying that it won't be 65, maybe it even needs to be higher than that. You know?
Well, I mean, talk about a catch 22. I mean, how do we win on that one? You know, you can't be 55, you have to be 76, you know, and a half. We've only got 23 units. If I go by the surveys that I've done, you know, most of these people, and they're still riding bicycles around, are in their mid-70s. Most of the people that come to a place like this, they are selling a house. For example, someone comes off Depot Hill. They want to stay in Capitola. They're in their mid to late 70s. They're selling a $2-3 million house. They're not out looking for another $2 or $3 million house. They want to simplify their life and they want some luxury and not have to put. Am I rambling?
Yes. I just want to say one more thing about the car issue. A lot of people hang on to their cars as they age because they're used to having a car. But when they end up in a place like this where they can walk to a lot of things and there is a shuttle, they're more likely to stop using the car and get rid of the expense of a car. So I think that needs to
see, my point is that's not happening at age 55. It's not happening at age 65. And I think that was Gail's point also.
And it's also, my concern is if the age goes too high, in other words, older, what happens then is the assisted living individual brings the car, and now you haven't provided for that.
Yeah, but I do think there's going to be that niche that finally don't need the car like they used to, because things are going to be close enough.
Have you considered at all having a separate fee for the parking place for the
and made them less attractive to keep that car. That's an idea.
You know, if you look at the numerous places like this, there's all types of things happening, rules, regulations, all of this. What we did when we started all of this with the city, we did a traffic study and we did a parking study. And we're relying on it. We're relying on a parking study that created what could be the ordinance for senior housing in Capitola. We were required to do it, we did it, and these are the findings.
Any other questions? No? Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Murray. Okay, this is a public hearing. We will open it to members of the public who wish to speak on this particular item. I'm not sure how many of you there are, but if you could please try not to be redundant and keep your comments somewhat brief.
Good evening. My name is Charles Huddleston. I worked in a senior care facility lock perimeter on Clinton Canyon Road, the mansion, for 10 years. I have elderly relatives, one who recently died and the other who cannot drive, who are desperate with their situation. You know what a car dependent society this is. You all think you're going to drive forever, but I guarantee you're not going to get $3,000 accidents The safety guy is going to call you up and say, who does your finances? Do you remember the accident? And he's going to pull your license or your doctor does. People in that situation are the natural demographic for this. Now, modern city planning in Santa Cruz says build senior housing and affordable housing on the bus line. That's a little shallow. The average senior will take a bus to go to the doctor. They will not take a bus to get a head of lettuce. Now, I came to this project by one day walking across the street and asking for the owner and saying, have you ever considered building senior housing here? Because it's a perfect opportunity site. There's everything here. And I know that because I come into Capitola every day. I go to Capitola Book Cafe, buy two newspapers, drink my coffee, go to the grocery store, look in the hardware store for things I need, walk across the CVS and get my prescriptions. If I lived there, I would not need a car. And if I need to go somewhere else, there's the shuttle and there's the bus station right across the Capitola Mall, which has major department stores. So I saw that as an opportunity site for senior housing. I thought, there are so few of these places really close to all of these things within walking distance. For that individual, like my aunt and uncle, who could not drive, they were desperate about what to do. And they didn't want to move into a locked perimeter care facility like the mansion because they wanted the freedom. They wanted to be able to walk someplace. But being able to walk someplace is a rare commodity in this city plan, California, that we've got. That's the perfect opportunity site for it. That's why I broached the subject to the owners. That's why I'm here in support of their plan. And I encourage you to allow this to be built. It will increase the independent opportunities for individuals to move in there. When they lose their license, they can continue to live in their home until they're incapacitated to the point where they need nursing care. So please do consider building this. Happy people is what you need for a happy family. And you'll have some happy seniors moving in there. And a lot of them will be people who are stuck, like my aunt and uncle were. They want a decent quality of life and don't want to be told to get up at 6 o'clock and go to the activities room. And now it's lunchtime, and now you need to go to bed and this lights out. They want their own independence, and they want their own shopping, and I'm repeating myself. You get the point. I'm enthusiastic about this project. I took it to the owners who suggested it. They were already in the process of developing it, and I've supported them ever since at the city council and at the planning meeting this evening. I've worked with these people. The staff levels are fine. The cost level is fine. There could be no problems looking it up. Talk to somebody who just lost their license, some old person, if they'd like to move in there, or had the opportunity to move into a place like this. And then say, there aren't any. But if you build this, there will be. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Could you spell your name and end up in speaking?
Yes, I will.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
I will add, I won't be living there. I don't know these people. I have no interest in this, other than a general interest in community planning. I've worked on buildings for 25 years, and I see this as a great project, so I came down to support it. Because participatory democracy is trying to make things better for everybody else, and not necessarily just yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
Kim Fry, neighbor in Live Oak. So I'm not in Capitola, but I'm on the perimeter and on the back lot of this proposed property.
Just a moment, I'll give you the photo. So you have a nice sense of presence.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of like in direct opposition of what the first gentleman was saying is, I don't see things this way. I really don't think this is the right place for this property. It's a great concept. It would be a wonderful property for a couple acres, 3 acres or 2 acres, but this isn't even an acre lot. This mass and this scale here is too concentrated, and it's too invasive to the neighbors. One-story house, this is going to be a monstrosity looming right about 25 feet from my house. And all my windows and sliders, they're going to be people looking in there. Not only myself, but the other neighbors around us as well. I have a petition from 15 neighbors who are against the scale and mass of this. There is no 3 stories on 38th Avenue. I would just beg you not to disregard the needs of the Live Oak neighbors. And we are residents there. I've been there for 16 years. I'm still concerned and haven't heard anything about the water runoff, because that area, that land used to be somewhat marshy toward the back, and then my house is there, so if there's a big building there and all the rain is falling down going to that back culvert he was talking about, how is it all going to go down there? I don't know. It just doesn't, it seems like there's going to be issues there with water, and I'm not technical, and I'm not an architect, and I'm not a water expert, so I can't speak about it, you know, in a professional way. But I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the noise of building and how long the building will go on, how many hours during the day. I really think that a property like that should be a two-story senior housing unit. Something like that, or a one-story, would be much more fitting in scale and mass for that size. I was a little confused about the employees units on the back, because that does face my property. Is the employees unit included in the 23, or is it 23 units plus the 4 for the employees?
Included.
Okay. And so I don't know when, at what point I make a copy of this and submit it to you. I think I already submitted it to planning, or maybe it was the city council.
I don't think we've seen that.
You haven't seen
it. Maybe it's, so, no, it's,
shall I, this is maybe my own copy right here. How should I submit it to you?
Give it to
Daniel. Give it to Daniel.
Or to Linda.
Okay, and I can get a copy of it later myself. Sorry, I didn't get a copy.
I have one question about the petition. What plans did the people that signed the petition have in front of them that they were responding to?
They're responding to the height of the building.
But what plans were they looking at when they were responding to the height?
They were just responding to the description. It's very short, and it's on the petition,
okay,
of how high it's going to be and how narrow the setbacks are.
So it's based on the current iteration of the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also I want to say, even the Capitola Hotel that was recently built on Bremer and 41st Avenue, and that's very big also. But even if you, I mean, that's very big, but then if you measure, which my friend and I did measure from the wall of that to those townhouses in the back on the west side, I guess you would say, there's like 81 feet between the building and the west side, you know, townhouses. Between my house's building and this building, it's going to be about 15 and another 10, like 25 feet. And those townhouses are two stories. Mine's a one story. So one story to up to this, you know, very large, luminous unit that's going to very, very much affect our quality of life and our lifestyle there.
Your petition sounds like it was going for my language at the last planning commission meeting.
There's no height designation on this petition that says how high the building is. It just says that not to allow the zoning variance changes that would increase it from 27 feet to something.
We can get the neighbors to sign probably more than 15 as well. We can go back with the proper language that needs to be on it, and if we have a copy of the plans, then we can show that to them as well. That's not a problem. And I too am worried about the units not being able to be rented out because the cost. My mom could have never afforded something like this, and my relatives could have never afforded something like this, so I don't think that the common person could. So it's very likely that at some point it could, I'd be worried, it would just be turned into, you know, an any age unit. So that's all I want to say. Thank you for
taking
my concerns.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My position has always been the same. When I bought the property that was zoned CN adjacent, I never in a million years would have expected that it would have been possible to rezone my immediate neighbor, and it would have definitely impacted my decision to have my business where I have it. I think that we all love the idea of senior housing. We love the idea of this plan and its opulence and opportunity for our local seniors, and yet it's not to scale with the community. I think what Kim said is valid for us. If it were two stories, we'd all be happy and it would be done. My access to solar rights would be dramatically reduced with this plan. I've spoken with a solar technology company about getting solar on our roof, which was part of our original planning for the building. We need actually the exact current zoning of setbacks and height to get the proper solar. I believe 30 feet height and a 15-foot setback, which is, we've got 15 feet on our side, but we need an additional 15 on the other side. It's currently, I believe, I've heard 6 or 7 tonight. John Leopold was in support of the rear of the property. In terms of being a county support to have privacy, they removed balconies. They did a privacy study? I don't remember what that study was called, but that supported removing the balconies and increasing the setbacks in the rear. I called his office to get support, and he said, well, you're in the city and not the county, so I'm fighting with you for you guys to help support having some privacy on our side. If there were balconies facing the north, I practice Chinese medicine. My clients often have to remove their clothes. People could potentially look right in windows. That's our southern exposure. We'd have to have the curtains drawn the whole time. And let's see, what else am I going to do? Those are my main issues. I heard something tonight I hadn't heard before. It was that there was the possibility for assisted living staff to come in, and I don't know if that's live with or care for as needed the clients should it come to that point. So that's definitely a consideration in terms of if the parking is a question that just struck me as maybe another potential. So I think, oh, and then the marshland was the final just question that I had in terms of, you know, if it were to be two stories, underground parking would be perfect, but it really is quite the marshland back there. We had to trench and tunnel our first year there because there was a lake under our building, so it's not old, it's current. That was 2 years ago. And that's everything. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Bart Tavis, I'm Tejan Lee's partner. We indeed own the property to the north. I'd like to echo a lot of the same comments that Tejana just raised. She mentioned that we had to tunnel under our building. We actually had to install a sump pump because the water wouldn't drain. I don't know what a building this size would do to the water table along the 38th Avenue, but it might certainly shift things further. Secondly, my main concern is that by allowing the rezoning along the 38, that the property to the north of us, which is owned by a contractor, and from us, our property up to the tire store corner, that will be looked at as the next potential area for building something at this scale, that this would set a precedent. Tejana mentioned the limit of sunlight on our property, thereby making it very difficult, if not impossible, to put a solar panels on our roof. With 23 units at the price that they are made available, I severely doubt that this is the right location. As extensive as the services inside the building will be, I don't think that these people would shop at Safe Mart or would visit the hardware store across the street very much, or want to look out at the back alley or the service area for the stores across the street. This is by no means a Santana Row, where the stores or the immediate area offers the kind of entertainment that I think would be of interest to residents. So all in all, we would welcome 23 new neighbors if they stayed within the current zoning, if they could eliminate everyone's concerns. But at this scale, it severely would impact our ability to go ahead with the plans that we have for Solar. And last point about parking, we have parking on our lot for the clients that come to Tatiana. Should parking become an issue at the villa, my concern is that visitors might seek the opportunity to park in our lot immediately next door.
Are you in the old Landmark building?
The old?
Well, it was called the Landmark building. It was Landmark?
Yes, indeed. That's the property. And before that, it was something else. Yep.
Just want to make sure where you were.
Yep.
Is that also your residence, or just business?
It's just business. It is zoned residential commercial, but we don't live there.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to address the commission? Last chance.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about clarification on the noise study, because Commissioner Ortiz said we might need another planning commission meeting so that the public can review the noise study. I don't know how that works in terms of, is that something that can be required, or is it a council's decision?
I think it depends on how this all transpires, but I personally would like to see a noise study done prior to this leaving the public forum, so that the public can hear.
Can I clarify that, Gail? The noise study is not about us making noise.
Right.
It's
correct.
About traffic noise coming into our building.
Correct.
Okay.
Traffic. Delivery trucks.
Yeah. Coming into.
It's the noise for the occupants, not the other way around. So the occupants of the building
will be suffering from the noise in the surrounding areas.
Okay, anyone else?
I would just like, my name is Nancy Hike, and I would just like to make this available to anyone who has questions about the solar study. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to see this?
Sure.
I don't have anything else to say.
Okay.
Yeah, so the point on the shading study that
could
was
you,
done,
could you come up
yeah, I'm sorry.
Here and identify yourself?
This is Josh Schneider with Slater Construction. So there was a shading study done, I believe you all have in your packet, and that shading study basically demonstrates that there's no impact to the neighbors except at the lowest sunlight time of the year, which is obviously December, late December. So 9+ months out of the year, there is no impact from the shading of this building on the adjacent property.
Okay. Sir, you've been trying to get up about 3 times now. Are you ready?
Good evening. I'm Don Mosgaard. I live at 1530 Bulb Avenue, which butts up to the rear of this building, proposed building. And my neighbor, who owns 1520, Angelo Raffaelli, there was an illness in his family. He's in Italy right now. But his property totally is within the back of this proposed site. And he recently didn't renew a lease for a family that's been there for 30 years, just last month. And because he wants to be prepared, if something like this goes through, he just wants to sell his property. And that to me is kind of drastic, but that was his choice. You know, myself, like most people, I think it's too dense. There's too much lot coverage here. It's too high. You know, it's a great idea, as we heard from the long marketing presentation, but I don't think it's the right location for something like this. I think there's a lot of variances being asked for. And there is one thing that was touched upon tonight that's never been addressed, and that's the redwood trees. There was a mention of an arborist being present during building to make sure that the redwood trees were protected. I actually looked into this because I like redwood trees, and I did this a few months ago. I talked to two arborists, and one was at Big Trees Park up in Boulder Creek there, and you know, this hasn't been brought up. It's kind of like a mute thing in the background, but they're building this thing with zero lot line, zero clearance on that side of the lot. And from talking to these two people, you know, they're going to have to cut off half of the branches, and they're going to have to eliminate half of the root system on these trees, which, if you're familiar with the property, they go pretty much the full depth of the lot there. And redwood trees, I believe that their rooting system goes out almost as far as they are high, and has a shallow rooting system. So, and not only that, some of those trees actually have, over the years, have bulged out and grown. They've forced the cyclone fence back towards the recycle facility. So they're actually beyond the lot line. I don't know where they were originally. So they're going to have to be cut. They're going to have to, you know, the trunk of the tree is going to have to be reduced in size if this is a plan of zero lot clearance on that side. And both these people just said, you know, these trees are going to die. You can't protect them. You know, you're going to be cutting away the roots, cutting away the branches, and you're going to have a large building there which covers what might have been their root system. So I just think, I think that's something that's been possibly not brought out or thought about. It's just in the plans, we'll take procedures to protect these trees, but these trees are not going to live. And I'll just let that be where it is.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no, then we'll close the public portion.
I have one more question to ask the applicant, and that is, where is your shuttle bus parking? Is that going to be parked on site as well?
Yes.
Okay, so we add that into the parking mix as well.
Add that into the parking mix.
Okay.
But keep in mind also, Dale, that in this parking study, when they surveyed all of the other senior housing projects, they took into consideration staff, parking.
So that, thank you very much. That is one thing that really wasn't spelled out in the parking study, what type of senior housing was used to compare. And, you know, they use a City of Live Oak. I'm not even sure where that is.
So we've closed the public portion.
Okay.
Before we go too much in discussion, I have one question for Slater Construction that didn't get asked. If I can interject it before we go to the commission discussion. And Josh, if you wouldn't mind, the acoustic study, which is going to identify what barriers need to be put up to make the interior of the building, you know, make certain, is that something that you're familiar with that you guys run across? And can you just comment on how those acoustic studies come out, what they contain, and how you address them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an acoustic engineer, but I'm familiar with it. I mean, they'll come out and they'll measure the, you know, the decibel levels of the adjacent area. And based on those levels, they'll recommend mitigating factors. Typically, on a building like this, you're really only talking about the windows. The wall construction's always sufficient enough as it is standard wall construction. So now you're looking at the windows and what they have to do to kind of block out that noise. typically a double pane window, which is a standard construction, you know, knocks out a lot of that noise. There's the potential that you might have to thicken the panes of the glass in the double pane window, depending on, you know, what decibel level they want to reach inside. But typically on something like this, it's not a major obstacle. You know, you might spend a little premium on some, you know, thicker pane windows to kind of meet those decibel levels. That's typically, I mean, they'll look at other stuff inside the building itself as far as, you know, first to second floors and all that kind of stuff, but that's all interior type of stuff. So from the exterior, it's mostly windows.
And so there's not a typical number because it's all based on what they...
It's site-specific. So, yeah, they'll actually stand out on 38th and take noise levels at, you know, different parts of the day, and that's what they'll base their recommendations on.
Thank you.
Okay, then. I've made a big list of all the concerns that were raised that maybe we should address. Age requirements, parking, landscape, the palm tree, noise mitigation, the lighting, the drainage, potential redwood tree damage, and anything else anybody wants to toss in?
Walls and crosswalk, which we really didn't talk about, but I think we should.
I'd like to make some general comments too.
Those are my questions.
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I don't want Steve and Maureen to be the total bad guys here tonight. When the proposal came before us, and it was many more units than it is now, and it was four stories as opposed to three, I made the suggestion with regards to the relocation of the footprint on the site to take advantage of the redwood trees that the last speaker spoke about, and the fact that a mini storage was directly to the south of the property. And they've done that, and it kind of pleases me in a way. The redwood trees that were discussed tonight are not on their property. They're on the mini storage property. And certainly to protect the root system and the rest of that, you simply have an arborist on board at the time of digging foundations for construction and the rest of it. So I think that those kind of things can be handled. I want to make a couple other general comments, though, and I have to look at my notes here a little bit. The real concern I've had with this whole project has been parking, and I'm a little bit more concerned than when I met out on the site with the owners. I'm concerned because they have more grandiose plans than I thought at that time. And the assisted living really bothers me. I know that most senior housing, when their residents go to assisted living, they usually move to a different complex rather than bring the assistants on site that adds to the parking. So that's a concern of mine. Parking really seems to be my major concern. I want to tell everybody in the audience that I visited most of your houses on Bogue. Stood on a couple of porches, and especially the house directly behind the mini storage that has the driveway on the north side and the entrance on the north side and the rest of it, and tried to envision what was going to happen there. And to be perfectly frank with you, I think a lot of your fears with regards to sun shading or building shading your sun are not founded, and I think that the height of some of the, well, some of them are not trees, some of them are shrubs, are such that at best you'll be only seeing the probably the top story from your units. That doesn't mean that I'm in 100% approval of this property. I saw some conditions in here, and really what we're deciding tonight is the use correct and is the zoning plan development correct. And I would say that plan development gives the city and you, the neighbors, and the community the best of all worlds. By that I mean you can make conditions that you don't necessarily get to make in other zones in the city. That's the reason they call it plan development. There's usually something that's given back to the city when you allow for plan development, and I think Gail mentioned one up, and there's obviously going to need be a need for crosswalk and stuff, and this is for by the developer usually, and things of that nature. I guess my real concern is the explanation tonight, and I'll make this as brief as I can, with regards to the setbacks. The site enjoys a zoning without plan development that would allow for a, let me see if I'm correct here, a 10-foot setback. And it might not be as high as this unit and the rest of it, but it would allow for it. And the bottom floor in this development will be 15 feet from that back fence. The upper level will be an additional 7 or 9 feet, depending on how you measure it. They did, with this comeback of the plans, give us some things we asked for also with regards to the rear decks that overlook the bold properties. Those no longer exist. I think that's a great concession on their part. I'm not going to go on rambling here, but this is an infinitely better plan than we had the first time, and I'm happy to say that. I think that it could work for everybody out there with some slight tweaking. The only reason the building comes back and the plan's so high is because elevator shafts are the tallest thing on the building, those luckily are located more to the 38th Avenue side, or should be, than to the Bulb Avenue side, so that really helps out. I hope I'm characterizing the idea that something definitely could be developed on the property, but we could get multiple housing on the property that would be much more dense than this without having to go to plan development. And I don't think the neighbors would want to see that, and I wouldn't want to see that. My major concern today stands with the parking, and I want to make one other comment. In the findings that the staff has prepared for us, they talked about the noise level from a different aspect. They made a condition that said they wanted to make sure that the rooftop ventilation and mechanical equipment that would be actually used to run the facility is screened, and that the noise level is at a tolerable level for you, the neighbors. And my comment is that in order to do that, you have to set a decibel limit at so many feet from the property so that everybody's playing with the same set of rules, and we know what we get, and that's what it's built to. So I think that needs to be tightened quite a bit. It sounds like I'm really in favor of this. I'm not really in favor of it, but I'm a lot warmer to it than I was a few months ago, and that's really my general comments.
I can follow some general comments of my own to follow that. Number one, I agree with you 150% that this is a much better plan than the original plan. And I really appreciate a lot of the things that the developers have done to soften and lower and shrink and all of that. The use is, in my opinion, something that's vital to the future. I think Capitola would be extremely, would benefit from having this kind of complex here. And I disagree with it being the wrong location for it. I think it's the perfect location for it. You've got all of the services that seniors need. And I think that a lot of people that would be downsizing and trying to, you know, eliminate all the yard work that they have to do and don't need the great big house that they have to keep clean. This is going to be a primary place that they're going to look at and say, you know what, I get to stay in Capitola, I get to walk where I want to go, I can walk down to the beach. You know, everything's really close. So from that perspective, I think it's really an ideal location. I spent a lot of time out on the site because I believe in the project, in the concept of the use of the project, and the size of the lot and how it's positioned. When you get out and you walk around and you look at it and how they have articulated the design going back, I think that a lot of the concern over the mass is about looking at numbers rather than only looking at what's going to wind up being built for the project. And the renderings that have been done, I think, are very helpful in understanding what the building's really going to look like. From a landscaping plan, though, I agree it's not complete enough to give us all confidence that it's going to be the right kinds and number of plants and that kind of thing. But the redwood trees, I was very concerned about and went out and walked a couple of different times, and the building that we started looking at was way too close to those redwood trees. But now, if you look at the design on the landscaping plan, there are three trees up at the front that are marked as existing trees that aren't really there. So the first redwood tree is a good distance behind the zero lot line portion of the building. The zero lot line portion of the building ends, based on my stepping it off today, a good 4 or 5 feet before you get to that first tree. And then from that tree to the side of the building is at least 6 feet. So you've got some space around the trees that we did not have in early planning. I still think the condition of having an arborist on site during the excavation is important, because we recently in Capitol, one right across the street from my house, have had developments that we conditioned protecting the trees, that the condition was there and the bulldozer shows up and the next thing you know it's like, oops, the trees are gone. And what, you know, what's the penalty for that? Well, you have to plant a bunch more trees, but it doesn't serve the purpose and the intention that we have by conditioning protecting those trees. I think the owners want those redwood trees to be protected as much as we would want those trees to be protected. So I would recommend that we do include the suggested additional condition that requires that they be protected, the trees and the root system, and that an arborist be present when the excavation happens. The month-to-month term, I appreciate that, and I think that the market that is going to want to live in this kind of a place is going to be looking at downsizing, and the numbers that were quoted for cost are not out of the ballpark. I'm sort of on the fence about the age limit and how high you raise it. I think 65 is a reasonable number. Going higher than that, and you're going to get a much smaller market, and we run the risk of having another development that doesn't work out, and you wind up looking at it and saying, okay, we've got to change the use. So I wouldn't like to see it go higher than 65, but I would be comfortable with 65. I'm sure I have more to say, but can't think of it. Except for parking. Parking, I read the report 2 or 3 times and really thought about the numbers of people and the numbers of employees, and I'm more comfortable with the parking than you guys are, it feels to me, because I don't think that all of those employees are going to be there all at the same time every day. The number of visitors, yeah, visitors are going to have to find a place to park, but they have that problem all over the place. And the project is vital enough that I'm not as worried about, I don't want to cancel the project and deny the project because we're not sure about the parking. And I'm comfortable that 35 spaces for the 23 units is not an unreasonable number. So, if I have a chance later, I might have something.
I'm sure we will.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, for me, like, I just can't resolve the parking numbers. They just don't feel on a gut level to me to be right. I have had a business for years that shares parking with several other businesses, and I know that no matter how many parking places, it's kind of like refrigeration in a restaurant. No matter how much you have, you're always going to need more. And I know that's true of parking. And what's going to happen
is that people are going to park across the street in James Plaza, which is what they're doing right now from Best Western, because Best Western has upped their, they're starting to get more people renting it for weddings and things like that, meetings, things like that. There isn't enough parking on site there. Not that you're going to have meetings or anything, I didn't mean to say that, but it's only right that the spillover goes to a shopping center, and they will definitely park across the street. I don't feel like this is enough parking based on what I know of seniors today and how many employees you'll have, how many visitors you'll have, considering the assisted living component that we brought up tonight. Plus, you've got to take into consideration the van that's going to be parked there all the time. This, it feels skimpy on that. So that and the rear yard setback and the south side setback concern me. I think just about everything else can be, I could resolve myself to, but I can't to the parking. But I would like to see if we, if this goes forward, us consider a signalized crosswalk, because I'm not so sure a non-signaled crosswalk in the middle of that street right there. I don't know how we could put that in all good conscience. If they would just feel like sitting ducks to me.
And you've got left turn movements coming out of the driveways.
It's crazy. if one goes in at all, I think it has to be signaled so that, or lit in some way, so that people feel can have a somewhat of an expectation of safety. We didn't talk about the walls and the height of the walls. And we didn't hear any neighbors talk about the height of the walls, and I would like to hear a little bit about that. I think it needs to come back with a lighting plan, a better landscape plan. I am concerned about the redwood trees. I think we could get an arborist who would make a report prior to. I agree that an arborist should be on site, but a city hired, applicant paid arborist, I think is a must before this is voted on, to find out what this plan would do to those redwood trees. It's one thing for all of us to talk about that, but I'd like to hear what an arborist has to say about that prior to a vote. Just wanted to make mention to Commissioner Graves, 10-foot setback. That's a 10-foot setback based on a 27-foot height. And this height goes up another 12 inches, and you know, at its best. So we need to keep that in mind. I do think this would go. I think these would rent. I think this is something that Capitola should have. I think it'd be a great asset to Capitola. I just wish it was smaller. And I know, you know, there's only so small you can go. You've come down a lot. I just think you're being restricted by your lot size, and it just feels like too much for this lot.
TJ?
Well, I'm probably going to be a little bit different perspective, because I'm actually excited about the project. One, I commend the applicants for their determination and willingness to try to accommodate input from both City Council, Planning Commission, neighbors. And I think they've done a job, and I think this one page really demonstrates that very well. I see this as an opportunity for Capitola to actually go look at the general plan and address what we've asked in the general plan to do in the city of Capitola, and that is to look at that from the housing element standpoint, to look at some density. We obviously have built out of Capitola. We have very few areas that would allow this type of project, and location, I think this happens to be the perfect location for that project, especially when you look at the goals that we've outlined in our housing, recommending along transportation corridors, aging in place. This is a perfect example to do this aging in place from my perspective and what I see in our general plan. So I think the plan development, we talked about this zoning, we voted on it a meeting or two ago, and the 4-acre component of that. I see, when you look at the density for the 3/4 acres, It meets the criteria of what the planning, the plan development, zoning is looking at, although maybe on a smaller scale. So I think it's an opportunity for us to address, which we don't get to do very often, this housing element of our general plan. So I'm kind of, in that sense, I'm kind of excited about being able to do that. I think the age thing, I would concur with Chairman Ruth on the age, that the 55 is, you know, is a little bit, you know, maybe, I don't know. The parking issue for me is, you know, I live with the parking, I can live with the study we did. I would leave it up to the experts, the people who do that. I can accept the study that they presented, that there's adequate parking. My question is, where's all this other storage? Like, I surf with guys who are 73 years old to ride their bikes, so where do you put your surfboards and your bikes and stuff like that? So I don't know. I think storage is one of those other things that maybe consider, but I can live with the parking component of that. I think it's something that can always be questioned, because we have this issue in Capitola, and it's something that's always on the front of our mind. But if you go to San Francisco, you go to these other areas, they deal with the same type of issues that restrict that. And it was something, I guess, maybe would take in consideration of a person who wants to lease or move into that, is there enough parking to facilitate their lifestyle. But I could live with the parking component of that. I heard someone bring up that they didn't think it was an ideal place, and people may not go across the street, but, you know, I've had coffee with the neighbor two doors to the north, I said, Mr. Snelson, and he loves that opportunity to walk across the street, have coffee, and do all his shopping and stuff right there. So I don't know that that's really a big concern of mine. I think that's really provides the opportunity for those people to have that ability to not have to drive. You know, we're fortunate, most of us who live in the Capitola area, I don't know about you, but my wife and I hardly ever drive down to the village. We walk, and I think that's a great opportunity for these people to share that, the luxuries of the pharmacy and the movie theater and the coffee and all the shopping right next door. So I see that as an opportunity, not a drawback. The red trees, I do have a concern, and I've walked that, and quite frankly, while the red trees belong to the neighbor to the south, a third of those trees are already on your property. So I don't know, I'll be honest with you. I did look at, then also the setback is so far, those trees don't exist until you get further back towards the building. But there is going to be some type of impact there. I would trust an arborist to make the right decision to protect those. I would think that the applicant would want them as well. I want them there as well as anybody else, because it provides some privacy. I could live with an on-site, or the arborist is outlined by staff. It was brought up something about the drainage, and I know I recently built, and I was required to capture all my water runoff on my, and on my property, even though I still have to pay the county some fee that I'm still not happy with for the area that I covered. But having said that, the water had to be captured, and I would assume this would be the same with this property, that the water runoff would all be captured, kept on site, and as the applicant discussed, probably used to do some irrigation. So the drainage is something that's not a big concern. I am empathetic to neighbors. I understand it's a change. I think even for the commission, for part of the planning commission, this is something that's a change, and we got to think outside the box. But I see it as an opportunity when I look at this housing element here, that we can meet some of our goals that we've outlined for the city to meet some of this density for seniors. And I hate to, 55, is that too young to be a senior? That seems, I don't want to put myself there yet, although I did get that AARP card. So maybe it's time you just got to accept those things. But I think people choosing to live there are going to have to make that determination whether they can live with the parameters of the restrictions of parking and so on. So I can accept that parking study. I'm excited about the project, and I could support it.
like to make a short comment about the housing element. And it was a little bit before your time, but the housing element was basically written as a response to the state of California mandates and was highly thought about and panned by a lot of residents who came and thought there was a lot more density than they wanted. But the state of California made us do that, makes every jurisdiction do that. So you need to know that that housing element doesn't necessarily represent our true heart's desire about what we want in Capitola. We were made to do that.
No, I understand that. I think the goal of having areas where you can have density without affecting a lot of people, nobody wants in their backyard. I've been to many city council meetings and planning commission meetings, and we talked about how we're going to meet that element, whether we're going to put them on that area off the park. So I'm very sensitive to that, but I think this is one of those areas that allows for that. I'm a little bit familiar with that. My wife lived in the house two doors to the north of that for a number of years, and so I know that area well, and I can understand that, but I understand that your business also directly to the north, and it's not necessarily residents, but oh my gosh, let's look at that storage facility for crying out loud. How did that get through there? That, you want to talk about something that's just an monstrosity when you drive through there. This is something I think that's going to add to the Goodyear building, the back of Orchard Supply, and that this is, this does nothing but enhance that whole corridor. So that's just my own personal observations. And
Well, whether this project is approved by this body or not, or approved by the council or not, I think the conditions we've discussed tonight need to be applied at some level if it gets approval. One of the things I'd like to see as a condition relates to George Au Jr.'s letter to us and the concern about noise complaints down the road if this project is approved and inhabited. That would be tenant complaints about noise, and then Kings Plaza having to mitigate problems that have never existed until this project was built. So one of the conditions I'd like to see is in the rental agreement or a lease agreement is that the tenants are forewarned of potential noise from nearby commercial districts so they can't come back and complain about that. I've also mentioned the age limit. I think 65 would be an adequate age limit. I haven't heard from Maureen, but if that's okay, I think that condition needs to be imposed. Is there a drainage plan, Danielle?
Not at this point.
Is there going to be one?
Yes.
Okay.
The site will have to be interior engineered.
Okay.
We're going to have a drainage plan on interior holding tanks and that kind of thing.
Okay.
We don't have it all covered right now.
Okay. Well, with that said, when this project first came before us as 67 units, I was strongly opposed to it. And I've met with Steve and Maureen in the interim and seen that they've made some, I think, some changes to try and address the Planning Commission's concerns. I think the project does meet the recommendations of the housing element, and I think there was that 41st Avenue sustainability study, and it probably addresses some of those concerns. But I still believe the zoning ordinance has to be our guiding principle. And I view the zoning ordinance, it's a covenant between the city and the community. It's their guarantee that their property is going to be protected from incompatible uses and things that are going to be built adjacent to them or in their vicinity that complement their neighborhood and complement the zone that they're in. It's a protection, it's a guarantee. So I think the question really arises here, does this project rise to that level of exceptionability to establish a PD designation on it? And that's where I've been wavering back and forth on this project since the redesign. And I think I've reached the conclusion that it doesn't. I think this project is a great project, but it's too much for this site, and I have to agree with Gail on that. I think it sets a real dangerous precedent to take our zoning ordinance and our PD criteria, which requires 4 acres, and apply it to less than an acre, to me, that just smacks of spot zoning rather than really utilizing our zoning ordinance the way it should be and the PD designation the way it should be. I also have some difficulty making the findings, and that would be finding A, that it will secure the purpose of the zoning ordinance, and finding D, the fourth dot down, that the requested exceptions to development standards are warranted by the design and amenities incorporated in the development. So that's where I have my difficulty. And, you know, perhaps if there were some greater setbacks and was reduced in scale, I could support it, but I don't think I can at this time. So that's where I'm at. So, Gail, your comments sounded like you'd almost like to continue it until we got some additional information.
Well, I need to make these folks, you know, continue to be held up with this. You know, I'd like to sort of find out where this commission is, because if we have 3 votes to go forward, I'd like to add some conditions that we can recommend to the council or recommend to go forward with. And if we're not going to approve this, then I think we should just put those in our minutes and pass them on.
Shall we take a straw vote?
I do have one question, because according to our ordinance with plan development, changing the zoning, it requires a hearing specifically about plan development. So the staff, do we have to do that? Or that can be part of this, because if I look at what the recommendation is from staff, it's to approve the application and adoption of the mitigated negative declaration. But in looking at an ordinance, it requires a separate hearing to change the zoning. Is that
what that is the hearing?
It did speak to that.
So this is part of that.
It did say that in the description in the subject, it's plan development rezoning.
Okay.
Is the first thing it says. Because I looked at that too.
Well then, you know what? I'll just move a vote to say that we go with staff recommendation to adopt the mitigated negative declaration and recommend approval of the application. And I think we need to outline the conditions. I think staff has outlined most of those that concern me, so I can accept those, including just using the arborist that is requested there. The one thing I think that's still a holdout for me is just the age. And so I would move that we move forward with the project as staff recommend. But I would like to come up with that age number. And I don't know if 65 is too much and 55 is too low. And I don't want to tie their hands, but even if we just said 60 or something, that I'll throw the vote out there.
So the only condition you want to apply then is the arborist one?
Other than the conditions that staff has already put in place.
Okay. Is there a second?
Well, can we have a discussion before you?
Okay. Well, usually we discuss it after there's a second. Otherwise, it dies.
Okay.
Well, I would never second it without having a lot more conditions than.
I was going to say, can we have a motion to second it?
Okay, well, that motion dies, so let's try another one then.
I'd rather that we took a look at, approached it where we took a look at where we stand, and then we go forward with, because if we want to talk about conditions, we're going to be here a little bit longer. If we want to talk about recommendations to either the applicant or the council, if they're going to appeal our decision, then it's more of a generic kind of thing. So I think it's important.
You want a straw vote?
So I would just like to jump in before you do a straw vote and say that I think it would be a tragedy for this body to not move forward in some way. And I think if we can find a way to condition it so that we do move forward, then it lets the applicant go forward with getting some of this information that we really want. But if we're not going to approve it because of its size and the building shape, then I think him asking them to go and spend more money, getting more information and bringing it back to us is just wrong.
Well, that's really what I'm saying, is that we have to know which way we're going, because if we're going to talk about conditions, we're talking about it in a different way. If we're talking about recommendations because we've denied it to an appeal to the council, so council reads it, it's another, we're talking about other things. So I agree.
Okay, is the council comfortable with this, or the commission comfortable with the straw vote?
You know where I stand.
Okay. Ron, are you comfortable with the straw vote?
Absolutely.
What's the straw vote?
It's a non-binding vote just to see where everybody stands on the issue. Okay. So, who's it? Who's in favor? Raise your hand. And opposed?
No conditions you made to...
Well, I take a different approach than most of you. I believe that Mick raises a real point with regards to the plan development zoning, but I can't, that I can't argue with. The staff kind of directed down that line. This didn't come from the applicant. The staff probably thought the best way we could get this kind of density on the property is to go with plan development. I think that's how it really occurred. The problems that I have with it is that I think that we could send it back to, it's going to probably be appealed to the council. And I think we should be sending it to the council with our concerns, both those that agree with it the way it is, and those that, if we can, it takes time, as Gail said, if we can reach some things that we really need to happen. And I think there are things that need to happen, and those recommendations should go to the council with this straw vote, if you want to call it that.
Well, we'll take a formal vote, but I think you're absolutely right. I think we need to make sure that the council hears what our concerns are and they're incorporated into any plan that they may approve.
So obviously the first one would, that I think was what swayed me tonight, is that Mr. Root's comment with regards to plan development. I think that that ought to be put forward. We have an ordinance on the books that says that we really look at plan development when it's a certain amount of acreage and we're having a hard time because this is less than 1 acre.
I asked last time,
put that comment out
there. Right. I asked last time that his comments be put into the staff report verbatim for the council, and I would like that to happen again.
But I completely disagree with the 4 acres versus the smaller lot. There are plan developments all over the city that are smaller than 4 acres. And this lot is a substantial size relative to the surrounding area. And the 41st Avenue corridor needs to be developed. It needs to grow. It needs to become vital again. And this is a great anchor for that activity to start.
I think you're correct that the area needs some growth. The point that I take is that there needs to be buffer between the most dense growth and the neighborhoods. There is a neighborhood that's not in the city that's immediately adjacent to this. Does that concern me? Yes. It concerned me, and I can make the perfect example, when Brown's Bull Ranch went in and the senior complex on the corner of Claire's and Capitola Road. They're not compatible uses. They have the noise problem, they have the delivery problem, the senior housing, you know, was the same argument was made with regards to solar access and the rest of it. I don't know of a lot of plan developments that have been done in the city since the ordinance was, since the number of acres, I think it's 4, isn't that correct? I think that's correct. Was enacted. I think
it had been townhome developments.
Yes, yeah. I still think that your comments are valid and can go to the planning to the council too, that you feel that it serves as an impetus to upgrade the commercial area. I think there's a lot of ways that you can upgrade the commercial area. One of them, get rid of the seat and cars in front of all the stores. But I got to make a comment. I'm sorry, Mr. Ruth, you brought it up, and that's the George Al email. And I have to really make a comment here. George was the first out there, he really was, and it wasn't him, it was his dad. And I took offense to some of the email, especially with the idea that if you look at 38th Avenue from this development, across the street at the back of Orchard Supply, basically the home and garden, every night when they lock the back fence, has all kinds of storage items that ought to be stored inside the fence or move down to their drive-through where you pick up stuff there. It's an eyesore, let me tell you. And for that reason, to have him come through with a letter is, I don't want to ever make any improvements. I'll tell you, if George was here tonight, I'd tell him personally, don't come before us with too many improvements unless you really want to clean up some of these eyesores. I think it's a travesty that the garden area, which was at the rear of Orchard Supply, has now moved to the front parking area in front of it in violation of our ordinances. And I think, you know, to have a person come off with such a hard email about this gentleman's development, it can't go unsaid. So I'm saying it tonight, if George gets mad at me, I've known him for over 50 years, so let him get mad, you know, type of thing. I'm sorry. I think they're renting space. I think Orchard Supply, which was bought out by Sears, is taking advantage of the hours and the amount of space that they have for sales, because it's out in the parking lot, both front and back.
I think one thing shouldn't really go over to the other. I mean, I can understand getting upset with him for that, but I still think there is a need for, one of the things I would like the council to hear is that I think he should add a condition that says that there will be no spillover parking in any parking lot, any other parking lot in the area. It should be a condition so that there's some teeth to it, and when that happens, we can bring them back and say, you know, you can't do that.
You know, I don't disagree with you, but we tried that with Star Center and the other Begonia Plaza. Mm-hmm. And what we had is development went in there, or second businesses went in after it was first approved. And all of a sudden you saw all the curbs that chalk your wheels said parking for so-and-so only. And the center parking is center parking. And so what we had is everybody trying to delineate their parking spaces. I think that you're right that the Owl property should not be the catch-all for the overflow parking if this development was to create some. But I think that's one of the things that should go as my comment. I'm still not satisfied with the number of spaces in light of what was the testimony tonight, especially with the idea that the seniors, as they get older, may have people that attend them that's called assisted living, and that adds to the parking burden that was never considered in the parking studies.
And so, Danny, are you getting all this?
Can I suggest this so we can move along and kind of bring this thing to some closure? How about if we compile a list of the conditions and the concerns that we have that we want to forward to the council, and then we'll take a vote and include in the motion that the items listed are items that we would like forward to the council in case of appeal. Does that sound okay with everybody?
Sure.
Okay. So, I mean, it's kind of wide open. Everybody can throw in their own things they want to be included in this list, and we don't have to agree on these. You just want these things in the list. So I wanted language in the lease or rental agreement that alerted the possible or the tenants to potential noise from the adjacent commercial uses. An age restriction, and I think, did we agree on 65? Okay. One of the concerns I have that could be voiced is to the council is the olive trees, is the trees in front, because olive trees are extremely messy. They drip, they drop olives all over.
These are fruitless.
Oh, okay. And that's not an issue. I know we wanted them to provide a lighting plan, a drainage plan.
So some of those are already conditioned. The drainage plan is condition 7, okay, that will be submitted with the final building plan. The landscape plan is condition 8, and it says that it's kind of the standard it goes in.
Yeah.
I would like to see the landscaping plan approved by the planning commission.
Okay.
What I was going to try and do is get us moving forward by saying that, you know, this could move forward. The landscaping plan comes back to us, the lighting plan comes back to us, but we don't have to, he doesn't have to start over from scratch with the whole building again. But
okay.
I would like the condition that's in there with regards to the rooftop equipment and stuff, noise, be beefed up, like I say, that the decimal rating be set and at so many feet from the building, so that there's no doubt of how much the noise, when it's tested in the future, whether it's in compliance or not.
Okay. There were comments about having an arborist look at the trees prior to constructing to see if that construction will harm the trees.
The setbacks are adequate.
So you want an arborist study on those trees in relation to the plan?
To the current setbacks. Okay. Yeah.
And if its construction goes ahead, I'd like to condition that arborists be present when the foundations are done.
Okay.
It's worded on-site with excavation. Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
The proposed condition that she had was that the applicant shall protect redwood trees and root system on the northern property boundary, and arborists shall be on-site during excavation of the site to ensure the redwood trees excavation.
That's fine, okay. Yeah.
The crosswalks, signalized crosswalk.
Okay.
Or
a lighted crosswalk to have
lighted,
on the cap road.
Lighted, that's probably a better word for it, a lighted crosswalk.
That's one I see the need for a crosswalk, but I see the lighted one on Capitol Road really being abused.
People think it's a stop sign.
They hit it and then go walking down the same side of the street, and everybody stops and there's nobody in the crosswalk.
Well, better that than not stopping when there is somebody in the crosswalk.
Well, we've never had anybody else.
How do we want to say something about parking? That at least two, at least three commissioners didn't feel the parking was adequate. And I would like to, because we kind of had to root this out, but I would like this put in, and that is that with possible seven staff members, one van being parked on site, no visitor parking, and the possibility of assisted living parking, those are all things that need to be considered when we consider
parking.
Yeah, I didn't say it was inadequate. What I said was I didn't know, and I think it depends on the age factor of the people living there, pretty much.
So parking is an issue for three of us. And no parking in adjacent setters as conditioned so that we have something, if there's a problem, if there's a big problem in that in any of those centers, even the National Path was here today, what if they're starting to park in her center or, different ones at night or whatever. So I think it's worth putting in. I think this is something we need to put in on all commercial, residential, all that mix that we're going to start seeing more and more.
Would it be good to have that be an additional clause in their lease or rental agreement, like the clause about the plumbers?
No, I'd rather see it a condition because then it's the difference between us going back to them as operators or them going back to their, which we don't want to put them in a bad place with their tenants. It's better that we put you in a bad place with us, I think.
But when you say solo parking, are you talking about the tenants parking their cars over
there?
Yes,
tenants, visitors. A visitor has a big birthday party and all one of the public areas and all the people who come to that birthday party.
Gail, could, in light of what Linda's saying to you, and I'm sitting here listening, could we also have the attorney for the council research possibly how we could beef what you guys are talking about? And I'll tell you why. The gentleman here that owns the building that's used to be known as Landmark Properties, to me, I sat on this commission, I don't know if you did, Gail, and we required a electronic gate for his rear parking, and when Bill, the owner of Landmark Property, moved out, he took the gate with him, and so nobody on the city really enforces these conditions, so maybe there's some way we can put it in, like, not in this case CC&Rs, but some legal way to put it in.
I think it could be done at some point later on, but I don't think we should be asking our city attorney to do that now when we don't even know if the council's going to.
No, I'm not suggesting we ask him to do it now. I'm suggesting that if they approve it on appeal, that be one of the things that they have the city attorney look at. Right. That how can we enforce these conditions?
Right. And we didn't really discuss walls, and no one in the adjacent properties discussed the height of the walls. Isn't there variable number there?
They're proposing 6 to 8 foot walls at the rear of the property.
So I guess what we need to say is that they work with the
adjoining property.
Yeah, eight foot, I think, is about as max as you can go, otherwise then it becomes an engineering issue.
Right, and so which one on. That is, you know, some people not might, I heard of, at our last meeting, a lady didn't want it 8 feet. She felt that was too high. So, you know, if they work with the adjoining properties, that's fine with me. And
you have any TDA?
I'm good.
Ron, any more?
No.
Linda?
I'm on your hands.
You mentioned landscaping be consistent with something, finally, you know, because the renderings and the landscape plan are two different things, so I have a final landscape plan.
You know, a number of these that we've been talking about are already in the conditions. They're already in that staff report. I think there are just a couple that stand out, and I understand that everybody can throw in what they want to throw in, and that's fine. I just think maybe we ought to, I don't know how you word this to the city council, that it's not a consensus by all that we agree that it has to be that way. These are just individual thoughts, because I'm happy with what it is in that position.
Well, I think that we could send off the straw vote. I don't have any problem with sending off the straw vote.
No, we have to take an action.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
So I think we're at that point. Someone care to make a motion? If not, I will move the project be denied and that the Planning Commission concerns be forwarded to the council in case this application is appealed.
I'll second it for purpose of the vote.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Danielle, can we have a roll call on this one, please?
Certainly.
Or Linda, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Welch?
No.
Commissioner Graves?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
No.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Aye.
Commissioner Ruth?
Aye.
Chairman?
Motion carries. Okay, so next step is either the council or mower.
Well, you could always pull something else and wins one of us over for her.
Okay, that brings us to item six, the director's report. Rich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple quick items. One item that I know is very near and dear to all your hearts is a general plan update. I've had a number of weeks to review and reassess where we are, where we're going. And at June 16th, City Council, I'll be presenting an updated work plan and schedule for them. The highlights are basically going to be that we want to capture Capitola's core vision and values, that we want to get the project done in a timely manner, something that's off budget. We're going to put together a new schedule that I think will maximize our resources and we'll get the general plan done as a priority. Also, as Commissioner Graves pointed out earlier, Monarch Cove has been submitted, the El Salto Resort.
Excuse me, can you people please go out? Hello?
Can you take your conversation out, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The El Salto Resort has been submitted, came in about a month ago. We have begun the initial review. We sent the applicant a complete letter. We've also issued an RFP for an EIR prepare. We got two proposals in, we're currently evaluating those and should be making a selection by, I think it's the 27th of July, and we'll be going to City Council to authorize that contract.
Like I said, Deepa Hill, all the bees are buzzing, deciding whether to attack or go back in their hive.
And then finally, at your next meeting, we'll be introducing a new senior planner. We finished our recruitment via selection. She accepted. Her name is Katie Catan. She will be joining us from Utah, where she was a senior planner for Park City community, not too unlike Capitola in many ways. So I think she's going to be a good fit for
doesn't
us.
Doesn't have an ocean.
No,
we don't have snow, so.
Yeah, they got lots of snow. And, you know, a very nice place, smaller community.
So space. What's Danielle going to do?
We'll find something for her.
So she's probably going to be relieved.
Okay.
They don't
have any communications.
I will be sending out a communication to the entire GPAC, depending on what the council wants to do, if they agree with my approach or not. But my thought is that the next time the GPAC will be getting together is when we have a complete general plan for you to review and comment on.
Okay, thanks, Rich.
Sure.
Any commission communications?
I do. We've been monitoring the problem for as long as I've been on anybody in this city about how we make it so that somebody can't move in before their landscaping is completed. And I used to hear it was because PG&E would come out and hook them up, so they just moved in. We need to figure out a way that we can enforce that condition, because some people on Gilroy have moved in. It's a lovely home. It's a beautiful home. But they're in, and they've been in for months, and they still won't have landscaping. How does this happen?
You know what? I just went through this. And I'm very empathetic to the people moving in, because I was paying a hefty sum to rent while I was waiting.
I know, me too. I've had the same thing.
So I posted a bond. The city required me to post a bond. Uh-huh. If I didn't have it done within 6 months, and they took my money, uh-huh. And they had it done. But then I did the landscaping as I lived there. So the way that it worked for me was great. I thought it gave an option for both the occupants and the city to work together and mm-hmm. get that done in a.
Yeah,
what would you do, and I don't disagree with him, but what would you do if it wasn't you and they post the bond and you don't do any of the landscaping?
The city takes your money and does it for you. That's what I gave them.
Well, I know you can do that. I don't know if you can do that with landscaping. I know you can do bonds.
Well, what the city did for me is I had to give them the cash that showed for each plant that I had to plant.
Oh, okay. That's
good. I had to bring the estimates to have all the work done. I posted that amount of money. If I didn't get it done in 6 months, they took that money and had it done for me.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Maybe not 6 months. I don't know if I'd wait 6 months, but, you know.
I think it was 6 months.
I think landscaping had happened in 3 months, but, you know.
Was it 6 months? Yeah, I think it was 6 months ago.
Yeah. That's a long time for a piece of property in a neighborhood to look, you know.
You can roll out a lawn.
You know, next door to the place we had tonight on Capitola Road, where they're going to build the... where the old consultant office was, yeah. That guy has never finished that project.
Oh,
no,
yeah. He started that in 97.
And gardens are going to close. When we change our businesses, I would want us to take a look at, you know, when somebody remodels or builds a new structure, they need to enclose their garbage.
Well, they have to do it now for the yard.
They
don't have to close it, but they can't keep it in the front. They have to keep it in the side yard, not for view from the public street.
Is that right?
That's an ordinance we have.
Yep.
Enforcement?
No enforcement. That's the problem.
You have to call Chad. Chad will enforce it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, with that, meeting's adjourned. Chad will enforce it.
Now, if I can get out of here, no. Thanks, residing now.
I've got an apartment in the center place to be at.